Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up.
Oh, hey.
Oh, good.
For the sex, it's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
I'm on a podcast.
Your hosts.
Salsa.
James. Oh.
And Jenna.
Well.
For fuck's sake, James, tell us what we're drinking.
You know, we tried to have Johnny Jump Ups and a few other things recently, I feel like it's time to start replenishing the bar, since we have been plowing through all of our alcohol fest, you know. So I got Knob Creek Rye Whiskey.
Going through it for a completely different reason.
Whiskey and then Seattle Cider Semi-Sweet Hard Cider for a Johnny Jump Up. But I thought we would try the cider before we pour it into a glass with the whiskey.
Whiskey.
And vice versa.
It is not your standard cider.
It says that on the...
Right where I'm looking.
On the semi-sweet like chocolate.
That's what I'm hoping.
Ooh.
Actually, there's a particular flavor that I'm hoping for.
Is it chocolate?
I am always fucking disappointed.
Is it chocolate? Because I don't think cider is supposed to taste like chocolate.
There is a flavor I go for as well.
Is it chocolate?
Alcohol.
Ooh.
I'm never disappointed.
That's not a flavor I'm going for so much as the thing what affects me.
Let's just drink it.
Okay.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close to what I'm hoping for. Yeah.
I like sweeter ciders in general, but...
Whenever I pour like this, I always like to...
God damn it, now I need to pee again. Oh.
Jenna, you may not know this, but you need to shake it to make sure that you get all the droplets off the end.
Oh, right.
There you go.
Oh, hey, there we go. Okay.
Otherwise, that goes in your underwear. Okay. Oh. All right. So,
where are you putting your can when you're done with it?
My can goes in my underwear.
Well.
Are you looking at my can?
It's a nice size.
You're always looking at her cans.
I mean, there's
I have a really
that.
Good can, you guys.
There's that, too. Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay. What? Anyway.
Accurate. Okay.
So now we're Johnny Jump Upping. We're jumping up with the Johnny.
Yep.
Jump up.
Johnny.
Jump up.
Johnny's jump up.
Oh.
I can jump up, and get down with that.
Oh.
Hmm.
That. Yep.
Huh.
Yeah, I'll drink that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this whiskey's not bad. It was on sale for the rest of the month.
But, okay.
There's a... Edina Liquors.
You're an Edina Liquors.
I mean, I have claimed most of Edina.
I believe that.
Yeah. So.
So I went through a significant amount of scotch on Friday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forgot to contact the CDS Scotchbringer.
That's okay. I'm unemployed, everyone.
Oh.
Yep, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have a good reaction for that.
No, there
podcast.
Is no good reaction. Got into work on Friday, and we had a surprise Friday morning meeting, which is never a good thing. And, so I got downsized, so I'm unemployed, so I went home, and I went through a significant amount of scotch. And then I went through the weekend at Fest and didn't think about it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's Tuesday, and thinking about it again.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah.
So I've been doing the resume polishing up and, you know, all of that fun.
Is that a euphemism?
You're a euphemism.
No, it's not, James. I lost my job. I need to get a resume out there in the world.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ. How insensitive can you be?
Do you really need to ask? Salsa, do you really need to ask?
You dick. All right. So. yeah.
So I designated Friday as my day to drink, and I succeeded.
When I saw you Friday night, you were...
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Past the point of recovery. You're like, I can't even...
Did I see you on Friday night?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. You were in the den, just kind of like, well, I'm here.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, God. You were there for a significant amount of time.
Fair enough.
So.
Yeah, we could tell that you were drunk because you looked real blurry.
No, James, that's not... never mind.
So that was what I did on Friday. And then, again, weekend, busy. We're going to talk about that later because, fuck. And then Monday was going to be my day to enjoy it. Monday was going to be my day to just sit at home in my underwear and eat ice cream and play video games.
Like, yeah.
All day.
Sure.
And just be like, I don't have to go to work today. I'm just going to whatever the fuck I want to do.
I'm an adult. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, nom, nom. Boop, boop, boop. And it was about 10 a.m. Yeah, 10 a.m. when I get a phone call from a mutual friend of ours who also doesn't have a job where I used to work anymore. And he calls me up and he's like, hey, we're going to go on a boat. You should come. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, another one of the people who also got laid. A lot of people got laid off. But another.
So you're not special.
No, God, no. He's like, yeah, a bunch of us that just got laid off are going to go to this one guy's boat.
I love that he calls me insensitive.
Yeah. It's because you are.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, him being insensitive does not negate your insensitivity.
Yeah.
Let's be super clear.
It's not a competition, James.
No, that's fair.
That's competition. Nobody wins.
But he's like, you should come. And I was like, okay. That as long as I'm back in time to get, you know, my kids home from school and stuff, then yeah. So we drive out to Hastings, which is about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Yeah.
And we get on the river on this guy's boat, and it was glorious.
Yay.
Yeah, that it sounds like a rough afternoon.
Phenomenal. We got it out. By the time we got it out of the little parking bay.
The dock?
The ramp?
No, the inlet where all the boats are parked. Like, when, by the time we got out of there and actually into the river
harbor?
Proper.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure, harbor. I there's another word I can't quite... But anyway, yeah, harbor. We'll go with harbor.
Sure.
By the time we got out of that and actually into the river, he was like, we need to go straight to get gas and pump out the Donickers, because they're full.
You're a Donicker.
So we got out into the river.
Good intro, an Irish whiskey.
And we got into the river, and we go down to the little marina and, you know, pump out the shitter and fill up with gas. And at that point in time, we're looking at the radar going, ooh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's not looking so good. And this, by the way, is right where the Mississippi meets the St. Croix River.
Oh sure.
Okay. And so his actual, like, dock is on the Mississippi side, but the marina is right where they meet. So we like went downriver just a little bit to the marina, and then we were going to go up the St. Croix. And we got about 5 minutes up the St. Croix, and we went, we're gonna turn around and head back because this guy's looking pretty nasty. So we turn around, we head back south, back to where the two rivers meet. And it was actually rather interesting. You can see where the two rivers meet.
Oh,
the water color is so different because the Mississippi is so brown because it's got so much mud and silt and dirt.
Right.
Whereas the St. Croix side, the St. Croix comes through a lot of sand and woodland. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot cleaner.
Right.
Instead of all that farmland. And so it was much bluer than the brown. And you can see just like where the two meet was just this line.
That's crazy awesome.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat. So we head back. We go all the way back to his dock. And he's giving us instruction because the wind is picking up. And so we're like battening things down, you know, the guy's up
the hatches.
He's in his captain's chair and he's, you know, shouting orders at us, at us, the crew, and we're doing all this stuff. It was actually rather fun.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
But you know, just putting canvas up and stuff like that, and closing windows, and he was like, now when we pull into this dock, you know, I'm gonna have the, you know, two of us jump out and rope, you know, tie up to the dock and stuff like that.
Yeehaw.
And we came in fast. Like, we came in quite fast. Yeah, he was like, that is the worst, like, dock I have ever done. Because he, like, bumped the dock on the way.
And,
we came in hot and...
Hot and sideways.
Exactly. It was a messy one.
I had a date like that once.
But it was a good thing we did, too, because, like, as we hit the dock, the rain started.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Like, we just made it back in time. So we lashed it to the dock, and we went inside, and like I said, at this point, we had all the canvases up and everything. So we just spent the rest, you know, another, like, 3 hours just, like, on the deck with the canvas awning above us, just shooting the shit and drinking.
Nice.
And bitching about
sounds
the company
like
that we used
terrible
to
terrible time.
It was awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a pretty good way to...
Well, gosh, I'm sorry you had such a miserable start to your week.
I know that. it was... I learned some things about...
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were... A lot of what we were doing...
About boating and about yourself as a person?
Well, no, about the company that I no longer work for.
Oh.
Because there was a lot of note comparing going on.
Oh.
You know, just because we had four of us there, and all four of us were from different departments and had seen different... aspects and
sure.
You know, there was this a lot of note comparing and going, oh, the reason this happened is because of this thing over here. And then there was a lot of laughter kind of Schadenfreude laughter when we found out who was going to have to deal with this thing now, and we were just like, oh wait, such and such a person was given this account. I would love to be a fly on the wall on that conversation, because they're gonna chew them up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, a lot of commiseration good times. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. And then when there was a lull in the rain, we made a break for the cars and came back.
Hmm.
And that was my Monday.
That actually sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then I spent today actually doing the paperwork and unemployment and all that other stuff that I need to actually do.
Right.
But that was that's my big news there. Hmm. Yay,
free time.
We'll go with that.
Right? I'm trying. Look, man, I'm looking for that. Yay, no longer working at that shitty company?
I know, right.
Yeah. Like, there is that aspect
that
to it.
That place is imploding.
Oh,
hard.
God.
Yep.
Hard.
Yeah, I actually realized as you were talking about it at the den and not remembering any of that conversation. I actually left that company almost 10 years ago to the day. And Jess has been washing through a bunch of our glasses from the move.
Yeah.
A bunch of the mugs that we just haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah. Sure.
She was like, oh, hey, I found this mug, and it's my old mug from that company. Right. Like, how evil would it be if I just brought that over as, like, a present for Salsa?
Jesus Christ.
I was like, no, I actually really like that mug because it's, like, super functional. Like, it's the perfect size, you know? It's just a bit bigger than other mugs.
Size
so, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great functional mug. But, yeah, you almost got a neener teasing present from me.
See, I would have
left.
I would have taken that a completely different way. I would have viewed it as like you're forming a support group now.
Mm.
That's I don't know.
We have all now worked at that company in various iterations.
Yes.
So many of us. So many of us.
I have similar news. but mine was voluntary.
Yep.
I'm leaving my company. I'm no longer gonna be working third shift.
Yay!
I have a little bit of money in savings. I'm gonna be spending time at home working on my swing in a bachelor pad.
You're going to be a homebody?
Wait, well,
and
homemaker?
Handyman. Homemaker in the very literal
homemaker-y
type thing.
Yeah, I'm going to be replacing the sink in my bar with a different kind of sink.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to be replacing the sink.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to stand in the bar.
Yeah, and wash things.
And pour fluids
directly from your orifices.
Can we not do this? Can
we? I can make this happen. I could do it.
I changed my mind about this joke.
So I regret my decisions. You realize that you are both, like, within a few days, going to have daytimes available. Like, you can get all those mandates you guys have been talking about.
Dates. I'm secure enough in my masculinity to go on a date with another man.
I'm also secure enough in your masculinity.
I'm secure enough in both of your masculinities to not have
wink.
To, you know. I'm gonna cut it in paint pink and call it good. Is that fine? Can I?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm genuinely confused.
But all of those dates that you guys have been talking about, you can just do that during the day.
Well, we've already done the ramen one.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you guys have more time. You can do lunch together. You guys don't live that far away.
We can
away
do
from
lunch.
Shit. Right?
Oh, we kind of do lunch.
You can do lunch.
We should go get Chicago dogs next to that place we used to work.
Actually, I do want to go to that new market that just opened.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah. I'm for it.
They have like a butcher in there and like a greengrocer and a bar, like a brew pub.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think we should go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Yeah. So you guys have all sorts of time you can
pants hang on.
Well, there is pants.
That's like the best part about being unemployed is putting pants on.
There's that.
And the fudge stripe cookies. I spent my Monday asleep for almost the entirety of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then interspersed in that time, Bryn was over, and I introduced her to one of my favorite video games.
Yeah. By the by, I know I have a roommate.
Yeah.
I know that conceptually, eventually. I have a roommate. She gave me rent money, so
that's really the only important thing.
We've got a lot of unpacking left to do.
We're actually discussing an exchange student program where an Army Reserve thing, like 2 weeks a month or.
Are you gonna come over to my place and she can hang out with your current roommate landlord guys and
different and, from that. We're gonna trade off. The two of us are going to go over to your place and work on unpacking and setting things up there. And then the two of us are going to come over to my place and work on unpacking.
Okay, cool. Because I have no idea about any of this.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's... Like, I saw her briefly this morning. And I was like, you exist. Cool. I gotta go.
You're no longer a mysterious poltergeist. Yeah, no.
And she was wearing her super cute dress today, too. Like, I was just like, aw.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
She played Journey for the first time, which is...
Don't stop believing.
No, not playing Journey, but
hold on to that feeling. Yeah.
Similar to that. There was a feeling. That game is an emotional roller coaster, and it's fucking beautiful and poignant. And
it's gorgeous.
She got to experience. There are still enough people playing that she bumped into people, and got to partner up. And there was a part where her companion like fell off of something and fell a long way, and she's like, shit, what do I do? And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, we made it so far, I don't know what's down there. Is it gonna kill me if I fall? And I'm like, no, it's not gonna. Clearly your partner is still alive down there. And she's like, I'm going to go after my partner. I'm going to find them. I'm like, good plan. So she like dives off of this tall structure and goes back after her partner. And then later on, something very similar happened to her and her partner came back for her.
Oh.
And it was like, it's a kind of a moving experience. When Salsa played this, he fucking hates multiplayer.
Right.
So somebody showed up and he's like, how do I get them to leave? But
Yeah.
I'm not a multiplayer guy. This no. is clearly well no, documented.
He's really not. But no, she had fun playing that, and it's been kind of... she like sent me a bunch of messages where she's like, look at this thing I found on Etsy. They have the scarf. They have this giant scarf. Yeah. No, it's fucking fantastic.
Oh my God. I love how delightfully nerdy she is.
Yeah.
And how just fucking into shit she gets. It's so wonderful.
I love her face.
She's like, oh, this is a thing. Let me absorb everything about this thing. I'm like, oh, you are like the quintessential nerd.
Hmm.
But you're way cuter than, like, the stereotypical nerd. You're just quintessential. Like, you know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah.
She's super way cuter than, like, you would cast a nerd person.
That reminds me, the woman who plays Barb on Stranger Things got her own show, and it looks adorable.
Aw.
Yeah.
And, oh, very cool.
And, like, she just seems great. Yeah. No, I saw that come in the feed along with a bunch of stand-up comics. Now that I've watched, I think, 3 or 4 comedy specials in the last month, Netflix is just recommending all of them.
Mm.
Yeah. But, no, getting to share something like that with somebody and see them process through it is really great.
I've been watching Steven Universe with my gentleman friend.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he actually asked to watch it the other day, and we're still in season one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, season one is super long.
It is super long, but it's good.
Oh, yeah.
It was, trying to remember what we just watched last night. I don't remember. I know we're past Giant Woman, which is, I think, about the place where people start
to get hooked.
That was
the episode that got me into it.
Yeah, that's where people start to get hooked, and they're like...
Yeah.
And get it, and then so
that
we're
fucking song stuck in my head for
4 or 5
weeks pretty fully.
He actually started trying to like just randomly started playing out the melody one day, and he's like, "Oh,
that's right.
Oh yeah, that happened.
Yep.
I should watch more Steven Universe."
Yeah, Rebecca Sugar writes fucking extremely good music, and it's very addictive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, sharing is good.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers was right.
Last night, I've been trying to set up house stuff since moving into the house.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
That's what you do. Only I work daytime and weekends, so I only have weeknights. Except one night a week, I am podcasting. This week. I have podcast tonight. I have Fearless Meeting stuff tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have Double Blind on Thursday, and then I'm out to Fest again. I'm just trying to scrape together whatever time I can to get unpacking to happen.
This was actually why I quit my job.
Living in boxes drives me insane.
Yeah.
I just need it all out of boxes. And I there's an interesting dynamic that happens when you and your roommate are both at the house at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, well, I can't really ask you how you feel about this particular thing.
Oh, yeah.
So am I just not going to do that particular thing? Or do I... What... Oh, God, now I have a quandary. So, like, there's some stuff that I've just let sit because I want to ask my roommate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I let it sit for a while, and then I was like, no, this just needs to happen now. And now I'm scared that, like, it's all going to be wrong. And, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you don't have that ability to have that feedback back and forth to get things unpacked and set up.
I guess I'll lend her back to
But, well, I mean, yeah.
Fine.
She's her own person. She can make her own decisions. You're not in charge of her.
No, that's true.
But, so I did have Joe over last night, he helped me get a whole bunch of things, set up as far as, like, TV and media.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty sure that was a thing that I could do that I couldn't do wrong, because I don't know that my roommate has a specific way she wants the wires.
Right.
Like, I've got, like, and I got, so I got a bunch of smart home stuff, because I've always wanted smart home stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got smart home outlets that are wireless.
Yeah.
That don't need a hub.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like, application driven. So I've got, I now have four outlets in the media room area to where I can just turn things on via outlet. I can use my Google Mini and say, hey, Google, turn on this.
You just fucked up a lot of people's houses just now.
Hey, Google.
Only if it's this is their keyword.
Hold on. Hey, Google, tell me a joke.
Oh, yeah. Just going to ruin their fucking days.
Oh, God. Dear listeners, if that actually activated your Google Assistant, please let us know.
Yeah, tell us so what happy. Joke you heard.
Yeah, tell us a joke. It's going to be one that I don't like. And then Kyle's just going to show up out of nowhere and tell me another one.
Kyle's need not apply.
Also that.
But it's weird, like, and so he and I have very similar mental processes as far as, like, he calls it neuroticism. I call it particularity, in how we like to have things set up.
Yeah.
And he's, so we're talking about various cable type things, and he and I are both cable nerds.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean like Comcast. I mean like,
right.
Just
because no one is a Comcast nerd.
I'm going to recommend r/cableporn. Which is totally a thing.
Oh, my God. He actually sent me a video of somebody's server room and how they did their cables, and it was... Anyway, so, yeah, we spent time, like, discussing cables and the best way to cable and to see if we could get the receiver to do a specific thing with the audio and the sound and the video and... Uh-huh. We're basically trying to run everything through the receiver and then to the TV for the video so that we could get really good sound.
Sure.
My TV's not capable. It is just not capable. And he was like, there's got to be a way. I'm like, yeah, I believe I can buy a special thing. I don't want to buy a special thing.
No.
I don't care. It's an old receiver. It was an amazing receiver for the time that it was made. But it's not...
I may have... something that I'm not using that you can have.
Nope. Well, I've already got plans.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a way to do this.
Okay.
I need to double check before I actually do this. But I think you can, when doing at least Chromecast, run your sound also through your Google Minis.
Oh, that'd be real weird. Oh, but I guess you can plug stuff into it.
You can't, what? No.
Oh, I'm... Okay.
Because the Google Minis are just speakers.
Oh.
So if I have speakers on either side of the couch,
mm-hmm.
and then I say, hey, Google, play this thing on Chromecast, and...
Play Journey's Don't Stop Believing on Chromecast.
I mean, you could do that. Or, like, Steven Universe.
While playing Journey.
I mean... Chromecast is for the video, too, but if you want to see a video music,
I guess. I wonder how well those two sync up.
I'm doing it in my head right now, and it's pretty good.
But, no, my thought is...
it's pretty good.
Okay, we'll work on that. We'll talk to Joe.
We'll workshop that one.
Otherwise, I've spent a lot of time as an AV nerd. I'm sure.
Yeah, but here's what I'm thinking is if I can tie the three of them together,
yeah.
I suddenly have speakers
yeah.
playing the same thing
yeah.
on all three if I only have two Google Minis on either side of the couch.
Yeah.
So I can theoretically smart home surround sound this shit without needing a receiver at all.
Yeah, there are a bunch of different possibilities. Let's nerd out together. So,
yeah, we need to nerd out about this.
Pow.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm sure that the audience is going to be like, actually, I have this thing, and this is what I recommend.
Dear listeners, as far as... No,
I'm using my most flattering voice to...
Here's the deal, though. My current theory with the Google Minis and the Chromecast, I'm pretty sure this is a thing. But listeners, if you have actually done this, please let me know, because I will eat up your expertise.
Gross.
My
ooh. Yeah.
Look, it's not a sword. But no, I'm trying to minimize the amount of stuff and cables and things like
that.
Is why you're like, well, I have a, I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my Google Minis that are actively doing other things besides just being speakers, and I can, you know, put them in strategic places, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Right? I'm minimizing all of my stuffs.
Yeah.
So
cable porn. My I need to like get elbow deep on the cables for my home entertainment system. Yes, farm plow. I need to do that and get shit arranged, because right now it's kind of a fucking mess. Yeah.
So yeah, I've got that. I've got more outlet things. I've got a bunch of light bulbs, smart home light bulbs.
Yes.
And yeah, this is all going to be a thing. Like, we don't have any lights in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
Like built into the house. And roommate was like, "So how are we going to make light happen?" And
lamps.
I'm like, "I've got the and she has like 18 million lamps, so this isn't an issue."
Well, there you go.
But like, there's, you know, if we don't have a lamp right next to the door, what's going to happen? I'm like, "You're going to walk in the door and you're going to say, 'Hey Google, turn on the lights in the front room,' and then the lights are going to come on because I have that shit programmed."
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, you're thinking light switch. I'm thinking, fucking just talk to something and it'll happen.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is where I'm next level shit in this.
That's not creepy as fuck at
no.
all.
Nope.
I honestly...
Look, it's all tied to my account.
I walk into my tent at Fest and I have to catch myself and stop myself from telling Alexa to turn the lights on. I fucking love it and wholeheartedly endorse it.
Old man.
You really are.
Yeah.
I'm get off my lawning all over this.
Oh, yeah. Which is fine.
I like my speakers dumb.
Oh, yeah. And Jess is not a huge fan either. Like, so you're telling me you have invited the government to come spy on us. I'm like, no, that's not what this is.
If anything,
it's not the government. It's Google selling my information to other people.
And they're way bigger than the government.
And, right? Yeah, no.
They're multinational.
And way more competent, too.
Well there's that.
Like, I, for one, welcome our new Google overlords. Like, honestly, if Google takes my information and takes over the country, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's They're going to do a better job. They at least have a mission statement or a motto that says, don't be evil.
Yeah.
Our government doesn't have that.
No.
Whether they live up to it or not is a totally different thing.
Right.
They at least
The pretense. The veneer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For me, it's not even that. It's not even the like, they're going to get my information or something. It's unnecessary. Like, I'm just like, just give me a light switch.
No, see, this has replaced hoarding in my life, so
fair.
Like, I'm going more and more minimalist.
I'm not
nerding out about this stuff.
I'm not making a judgment call on anybody else's like decision.
Sure.
I'm just, for me, it's just unnecessary, and that seems silly.
You did get a kick out of my Google Mini when you came over that one time at the apartment.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I must have been drinking that time too.
Yeah.
Still drunk from Dragon's Den. It was actually just this last weekend.
I wasn't there. I don't live in that apartment anymore.
No, what the hell?
What were you doing?
It's a family of four lives there now.
Jesus Christ.
You're a monster.
I wouldn't be
surprised.
All right. They kind of pack them in tight over
my,
there.
Oh, yeah. No wonder they were so offended.
God damn it.
My sister gave my parents an Amazon Echo.
No, I'm stuck on this. Hold on a second. Yeah. Okay, now you can continue.
My sister decided to help out my parents by giving them an Amazon Echo that has the Philips
Echo,
Hue
Echo
stuff built in. And
sorry, I'll close my legs.
It's like the Bat Cave in there.
<Do-do-do-do-do>.
when your bat cycles link up. So the
oh god, don't get me started on that. Don't. So, oh god, I love women, but I'm so done right now. The fact that we all sync up and that no. Oh god, no.
Jenna, but it's a beautiful thing and it's nature.
Fuck right the hell off. I will end you.
Salsa, our job is to make sure that we have supplies.
Where's my chocolate?
Supplies? I don't have any.
So, yeah. And bought them some smart bulbs for it. And yeah. I helped them install this stuff, and they're giving me just the most absurd things. Like, oh, well, you call that bulb one, and that other one will be bulb two. And I'm like,
no.
There's... No, because then... I'm going to be getting a text from you every fucking day asking me why Alexa doesn't know what lamp you're talking about or what the name of a particular light is, and it's not going to get used and all this. So I was like, okay, here is a complex nested set of boxes. All of this shit is named this way and this way and this way. And then I tested it out by not telling them what the name of anything was.
Oh.
And then I was like, what do you think you should say to turn these lights on? And they tried it out, and it worked.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Damn.
And I was like, okay, so the first thing you think of with this thing, that's going to be correct. And then I installed some backup groups just to make fucking sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this bulb is the piano light, and then it's in the music room, and also, like, fucking...
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. So anyway, that's happening.
That's deeply exciting, though.
I know. I'm super excited, and I'm going to get that finished at some point this week, I hope. I still have books and games to unpack. And then I don't... Again, I'm still like, so I'm going to unpack these things, and hopefully I haven't fucked anything up.
Crickets.
Shit.
Crickets.
So my roommate and I have very different aesthetic particulars.
Is that a euphemism?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope, that is straight up... She and I look at house setup differently.
Ah, yeah.
So if she's not there, she can't complain.
I mean, not right away.
There's that.
Just saying.
Yeah. So we tried to, like, I had set up a whole bunch of stuff, and it was like, okay, I took what you said earlier into account and tried to set things up to the best of my ability to make both of us happy. And... Yeah, she's like, it was literally, I think we need to move the bookshelf over 6 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And it is a very particular spacing type thing to her.
Sure.
That I understand is important to her, and, like, probably other people are like, yeah, that makes total sense. I don't get it. I can't make my brain wrap around exactly how she's doing her aesthetic spacing, because it doesn't... jive with the visual that I'm getting.
Gotcha.
Right. And there's no wrong or right about it, but it is very different, which makes it hard for me to set up a space when I can't actually visualize what the other person is seeing. Right?
I find that the ultimate test of friendship is deciding which kitchen cabinets, plates, and cups go into.
Oh, no, I made all of those decisions.
Yep. All right.
I just made those decisions.
Yeah.
The kitchen, it's about functionality and flow, and those are decisions that I know I can make. It's not furniture, it's not spacing, it's not anything like that. The dishes go over here for ease of access, the pots and pans go next to the stove, the utensils drawer is the drawer that is next to the stove, because if you need a spatula, then it's right there. Like, functionality flow is mine.
Yeah.
Like, and she's agreed with me on that. Like, as far as functionality flow, that's mine. There are some other particulars that we disagree on in the kitchen, but overall, like, it was just straight up, nope. And then this stuff goes over here, and this stuff goes over here. The baking stuff goes over here because we don't do it that much, so, you know, it's the hardest to access. So it goes there.
Fair enough.
Because that's the space that I have for it. And we still have an empty drawer and an empty cabinet, but we have like 5 boxes of kitchen stuff still left
that I just
haven't put anywhere yet because I got overwhelmed and I was like, I'm done for now.
I feel like that's going to be the drawer for the 1.5 screwdrivers, the broken crescent wrench, the tube of super glue that was opened once and is now permanently sealed shut. Batteries that go to who the fuck knows what.
Many of those tubes. Oh, I know where the batteries go.
Oh.
Yep. I'm kidding. Mine's a plug-in. What?
Hitachi does make a good unit.
It's not Hitachi.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We'll dish. All right.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Should we take a break?
You just want to talk about sex toys now.
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Nope, let's keep going.
Okay, cool. All right. What do you got?
Yeah, tell us about yours.
Does
yours plug in or is it a pull start?
No, glass. It's glass.
Oh, because then you can freeze it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Huh.
Definitely. Got knobs on one end.
Well, that way you don't have to worry about lubricants being compatible.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
You mentioned earlier about swallowing, and it reminded me Friday story.
Oh yeah,
to tell.
Oh,
So I'm packing up my desk.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of us are packing up our desk at this point. And the ones that are left, by the way, looked way more somber than the ones that we're leaving.
Oh my god, I believe it.
Because the ones that we're leaving were really jovial and like. Almost celebratory. Like, we were just like, yeah, we're getting the fuck out of here. We're going to go out drinking and we're going to, you know, have a good weekend. And the ones that were left are like, we have to come in on Monday and there's going to be nobody here.
Oh,
my team is down to 2 people.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Two.
From how many?
From 6.
Jesus fuck.
It used to be 8.
Yeah. And then you left, motherfucker.
Wait,
they were supposed to replace
James.
They
never did. People?
No, they never replaced James after he left, and then they never replaced anyone else.
He is irreplaceable.
Yeah. It down to 2 people, and they are not happy about it.
Fuck.
They are not happy about it.
They shouldn't be.
I
want to give them jobs. Mm.
That was one of the things we talked about on the boat was the people that were left that were like, that person needs to get the fuck out of there because they are undervalued.
I've heard stories. I don't feel like I can talk about it on the air, but I've heard very compelling reasons why those people might need to stay for a bit. So, like...
Hmm.
Yeah.
But,
I'd still leave.
Engineering, our engineering head, comes over to me, and he shakes my hand, and he's like, you know, I'm really sad to see you go. You know, it was a pleasure working with you, and then he goes, I never did get to see your show.
Oh shit!
And I go, oh. Hold on. And I turn around and I grabbed a spoon and I just downed the whole, like, handle first. So I basically had nothing but the bowl of the spoon sticking out of my mouth. Like, the handle just all the way down.
Is this like a kitchen spoon?
Yeah, just a regular soup spoon.
Oh, a soup spoon. Okay.
Yeah, just a regular soup spoon. And I just downed the handle. For just a second or two, and then I pulled it back out. And he goes, he just kind of nods his head, and he goes, well, I've seen it now.
Yes! Oh, God. I had a realization.
Yes?
If you're just about to leave a job...
Yep.
And you're now unemployed, and the two of you have this history of following each other into places of employment.
Right.
Tell him no now, James. Tell him no. He's not that desperate.
No, I there's a, like back when I first started, because it would have been a significant raise. I was like, I mean, consider this thing, but then he would have had to work nights like me, and that doesn't
not with kids
doesn't jive with
has that
having
whole family thing?
Kids and
good
a family
good.
And
good
performances
don't
self respect
oh that
no it already came up
yeah all right
no I've got a bunch of leads. And I will be I'm not I have a pretty good severance, so I'm not panicking or anything
other
like
thing.
That at all.
No, don't tell the listeners about your severance. I was about to like pimp them for shit. Be like, hey guys, if you feel really bad that these two are going to be out of jobs,
I mean, I don't get a severance or anything like that. I'm destitute right now. I'm literally eating out of my shoe right now. I'm
it's
eating
really gross.
Cold
it's super
gruel.
Gross. It is
I'm
really
eating
gross,
cold
you guys.
Gruel out of my shoe.
It's so disgusting.
Without a spoon, because I already swallowed that.
You're in the arms of a salsa.
For nothing but the price of a cup of coffee.
You can get salsa,
which
a
you
cup
can
of
get
coffee.
For 10% off using the promo code
Apropos.
Gross.
Yes. Oh my god.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
That was the most blatant.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we are back.
Are we really back this time?
I'm James.
Are we really back this time?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me?
Maybe.
From outer space.
Okay.
He just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face.
Should have changed my fucking locks.
I should have thrown away the key.
If I had known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me.
Then we would have done a podcast.
Yeah.
Buckle up again.
And I'm Jenna.
Hey, let's talk about Fest.
Oh, why not?
Because that's what we do now. And
oh my God.
Saturday was
wow.
fucking hot.
As a belly dancer, it was fucking hot. I can't imagine what the rest of you assholes were going through.
Suffering.
Like, I had my belly exposed. I dropped out. I dropped layers. Because I usually layer up my skirts. I was like, nope. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And dropped layers.
No, yeah, you're usually like a little 7-layer taco dip.
It was pretty brutal.
Two of them are
weekend.
Sour cream.
Bizarrely.
Can't have sour cream.
Bizarrely. Usually when we have a crowd on days that get above 90 degrees.
Yeah.
The crowds become real
cranky.
Zombie-like.
Yeah, zombie
they
crankies.
Get really zombie and cranky and just stingy and really are not there to have fun anymore.
Right.
Like, they're there to have fun, but they just don't feel like having fun anymore. But bizarrely, even though Saturday was a fucking awful day, the crowds were still
they were so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't
into it and
I couldn't get them to shut up.
Yeah.
Which is the worst problem to have as an MC.
I was shocked.
Yeah. Like, I called for them to cheer for Signy, and they were already banging on the tables and stuff. And I'm like, well, shit, just keep doing that then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... What? They... When we finished... I think it was Second Feast on Saturday. When we finished, they would not stop.
Oh.
Like, they just did not stop cheering.
And this isn't even in the morning either. This is like 4 PM when people are going home because fuck this shit. They're like, no, they were still happy to be there. And it was like, what planet
like,
did you come from?
I was talking with Seamus the Insulter at the end of the day. And he's like, those crowds were good. I'm like, yeah.
They were
and I told him, I'm like, I think it took... And I'm trying to account for inflation because we all do this because time seems to take forever when you're on stage. I'm like counting for time inflation. I think like they went for a good 15 to 20 seconds that I could not get them to stop. And that doesn't sound like a long amount of time saying it out loud on a podcast.
But if you actually stop and pull out a watch and count out,
just count,
seconds,
count out 15 seconds, and then you're on stage and you're waiting for your next line, but you can't go because people are talking. Like, that is a long ass fucking time. Mm-hmm. Most crowds you can get to cheer for like maybe 5 to 7.
Yep. But yeah, they were there to have a good time, and they were.
Oh yeah.
They did.
Oh my God.
And they were happy, and they were generous, and they were just having a great time.
Somebody gave us a 20.
Yeah.
We don't pass the hat.
Yeah.
They just gave us a 20.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I had somebody come up to me at the Pig and Swig, which is a special event. I was sitting in the back waiting for the event to start, and somebody walks up to me and hands me like $3 and was like, I forgot to give this to you last weekend.
Oh,
I was like,
oh God, that's like the best tip.
I know, right?
That's so like, good. That's,
but that was the caliber of crowd we had on Saturday. It was just, they were there to have a great time.
Yeah. Kyle and I were fucking surprised by our pub crawl.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
I did one of the funnest goddamn things. so I spend my morning outside of the front gate. There's a bridge over a little...
Troubled Waters.
Yeah, for those that don't know the Renaissance Festival, there's a bridge between the ticket booth and the front gate that goes over. There's a little kind of a waterfall and then a little pond, and the bridge goes over
a little path.
And I spend my mornings on that bridge in the morning.
Sure.
And Taffy, his spot is standing on the railing at the end of one of the rails. And I have taken to standing on that. I have basically claimed the rest of the rail on that side as mine. I'll pace back and forth and jump on the railing. Because
you licked it. It's yours now.
I have really good balance, and so I can run back and forth on that railing and basically not be worried that I'm going to kill myself. but we Saturday usually by 10 o'clock, 10:30, it's pretty dead out there.
Right.
Because people have already gotten in the front gate. Saturday, it was like 11 o'clock and it was still backed up to the bridge.
Holy shit.
Like that, it was, and all of the gates were open.
Yeah.
Like it was just that many people were there.
Remind me to tell you guys a politics story off the air.
Cool. We'll do.
Excellent.
But we're on the bridge here and the crowd just isn't moving. Because there's such a mass of people that they're moving very slowly. And this one woman walks by, and she has these black lacquered chopsticks that she's got in her hair.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking. Being a chick with long hair and having used those, I get it.
But she doesn't have them in yet. She's putting them in. So she's got one in her hand, and she's using her hands to twist her hair into the bun, and the other one she's got in her mouth. And so I look down at her and I go, "Are you going to eat that?" And she was like, "What?" And I was like,
"Fuck."
And I kind of started on this whole like, just kind of like, "Are you going to eat that? Because if you're not going to finish the other one." I could finish that for you, you know, and kind of laying that on.
Yeah.
Right. And then for some reason, she hands me one of the two.
Oh my God.
Oh, shit.
So we all know what happened next.
Yeah, no. You don't need to finish the story, but I feel like you should just for completion.
I absolutely stick that thing down my throat.
Oh, yeah.
And and I'm holding, I've got my hand, my fingers on the very tip.
Sure.
So I swallow it down, and I've got it far enough down that I am able to tip my head forward and look down at them and then tip my head back up to pull it out. And there was a sea of saucer-sized eyeballs. And I wipe the thing off, and I hand it back to her, and I go, 12 o'clock, Sherwood Stage, Casimir the Hungry.
Yes!
and taffy. And oh, by the way, I am standing on the railing the bridge while I'm doing this.
Of course you are.
Taffy almost fucking falls off.
Right.
He's laughing.
He's fucking
so
dying,
hard.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, it was a golden moment.
Oh my God.
I handed back to her and she just like doesn't know what to do with it for a moment.
Put it in your hair.
She does. She then sticks it in her hair and moves on, and the rest of her day was goodness knows. But
that was a man.
Yeah, but that happened. It was one of those unscripted moments that just rocked a few people's
fucking amazing.
World. And then Sunday morning was much slower. I spent the entire morning hiding behind the little building. Behind the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And whenever Taffy had forgotten I was there, taking my mug and whipping a cup of water at him.
God damn it, man.
which is a pretty good distance.
Actually,
that's like,
it's kind of you.
That's 15 to 20 feet.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good distance. And so I really had to, like, aim it just right and really, really whip it hard in order to reach him. But he'd be up there yelling at people, and suddenly splash of water would hit him in the back, and he'd be like, oh, shit, what the fuck?
Uh-huh.
But at one point, I walk up to, I walk onto the bridge, and I walk right up to him, and I shake his hand. He's like, you know, okay, you know. And I turn around, and there's a person there, and I go, ah! And I feign shock, and toss my
God
mug
damn
up
it.
And splash him right in the chest with the mug.
Oh, just fucking.
Oh, God.
And I move on. And at this point, Eric Thompson was my... Eric Thompson. he was my partner in crime at this. The two of us had set up shop under the trees,
right.
Just to the side of the trail there. Pretending to be drunkards, because it was in the shade. So I go back and sit down with Eric for a while. And after a while, I get back up and I go talk to Taffy. And the other person on the bridge at this point in time is Sir Guy.
Yeah.
I have a story after
and
this.
Sir Guy wears all black leather.
Yeah, huh?
Because he's fucking dumb.
So... Taffy tells me this story. He goes, after you left, you know, that splash of water that hit his shirt, like, at first it was like, ooh. But, again, this was like a 90-degree day. So he was like, after a moment,
almost
he was like,
100.
This feels pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
And he leans down to Sir Guy and he goes, wow, this actually feels pretty good. And Sir Guy's like, yeah, lucky bastard.
Yeah.
God.
Like those two wear black leather.
Yeah.
Like pretty full head to toe black leather.
Yeah. Which really adds to their whole villain look.
Sure.
But
it's looking fantastic.
Yeah.
Poor guys. Mm.
Sunday, I got arrested.
Wait.
Nope,
in the afternoon?
Ahead. Right after parade, actually.
Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. All right.
What happened was, so I was doing wings for parade on Sunday,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
For listeners, there are things called, and don't report me for terrorism, but they're called ISIS wings. And they are a belly dance prop. They're giant wings that you can manipulate.
After the Egyptian goddess.
Yep. Exactly. There's several of us in Sigourney do wings and other belly dance things in the parade, right? Because we're belly dancers. It's apropos.
Yeah.
apropos. It's apropos. And no, that's
revenge is mine.
That's
even there is a song.
That's just that's just a promo code, James. But no. So I had my wings. And we get to the end of the parade. Now, at the end of the parade, I just cheer people because we're always at the beginning because mm-hmm. we've got these giant wings and it's kind of this nice celebratory beginning to the parade.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we're always the first ones done. And what happens is that you finish the parade and then you kind of go off to the side and the rest of the parade, like you become audience for the rest of the parade.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm always one of the first ones. So I just start cheering groups. Like, I start cheering for people. I'm like, yeah, Terpsichore! Yeah!
Woo!
Woo! Royal Navy! Woo! Like, things like that, right?
Get your boat on!
Yeah. Which has nothing to do with my story, but it pleases me immensely.
Right.
So I'm there watching the rest of the parade happen, and the sheriff and Sir Guy end up nearish me in the split off, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're watching the rest of the parade, and then there's the herald calls out, "God save the Queen," and then hip hip huzzah. But there was no God Save the King. And we were like, did we just miss it? Did he say it earlier and we just couldn't hear it from where we're at? No, there was no king.
Oh.
There was no king there at that
shit.
Particular moment. So the parade finishes with the king and the queen. And then they disappear. And the sheriff, sensing a moment, is like, "What happened to the king? Somebody's at fault for this." You know, and he's harumphing and he's harumphing. And I decide to hide within my wings. There's a specific hiding gesture that you can do with your wings.
Sure.
Where it's just your eyes peeking up from the wings. So I hide in my wings. And he goes, you look guilty. I'm arresting you for killing the king, you murderous.
Oh, like, shit.
Whatever, right? And so they start to arrest me. And, like, Gwen is like, No, she's been falsely accused and like all of this other stuff. And there's this big hubbub about arresting me, and they arrest me and they're like, "We're taking you to the dungeon." And I need to be at Bad Manor fairly shortly after the parade. So it's like, the dungeon is that way, right? Like, I'm like, you know, not that loud and heavy, but they're like, "Yeah, we're going over there." I'm like, "No." Right, like, I didn't do it wasn't me, blah 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 blah, I had nothing to do with it. And they're like, "Lies, slander," and they put me in the cuffs, even
right
yeah, they full-on arrested me. And then we get over on our way to the dungeon, we come across the queen, and the sheriff presents me and he's like, "We've caught the person that killed the king, your majesty, what would you like us to do with her," kind of a thing,
right?
And she goes, "Oh, that was you? Oh, good." I've always wanted to be in charge.
Oh, shit.
And so the sheriff was like, "So, we should let her go?" And she's like, "Oh, yes, it's a very good little assassin." Absolutely delightful. And so they start to let me go, and they get the cuffs off me just as the king comes around the corner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're like, "Oh, your majesty." Like, because there was a, I'm like, "Bye." And then I run off. I'm just like, whoop, 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 whoop. With my Isis wings, which was delightful. And
please tell me you said whoop, 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 whoop.
I did not, but I did make the motions with the wings, which I feel like counts for something.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I got arrested on Sunday and it was delightful. I haven't done as much street this year.
Yeah.
Which I think has made things just, I don't want to say Fest has been more depressing for me this year, but it's been a
it's
bit of a downer.
It's more fun when you can do that stuff.
Well, yeah. I had difficulties fitting street time in before I was the assistant campground director.
Yeah.
And then fitting that in with everything, it's just like, oh, God, I'm just so tired all the time. At 7 o'clock, my day's not done.
Yeah.
I still got, you know.
You got pervert frogs to shower. And
I do that during the day.
Yeah.
Which cuts out about 2 hours where I could be on street.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can't because I have to get out of my costume, go down, clean the showers, get back into a costume and be ready for a 2:30 show. So yeah, like that's 2 hours out of my 8 hour day, right? 10 hour day? I don't remember anymore.
A long day.
my day. 10 hours. Which is, that's a hefty chunk. That's a fifth of my day that I am just not available for street. And then taking all the shows and stuff into account on a Saturday, street may as well not exist. I just can't. It's not there. Yep. I can maybe do some stuff in the morning, but usually if I'm smart, I'm trying to grab food. Because then I don't have an opportunity to eat until after 4.
Oof. That right. sounds awful.
Yeah, just. No, I know. You know what? You make your decisions. None of mine involve shoving things down my throat.
Right.
At least not during the day.
All joking aside, by the way, talking yeah. about just the heat and everything like that,
fuck.
It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Holy like shit.
Pickle juice is my savior.
Yeah. I believe it. I believe Lord it. Honestly, pickle juice saved me a couple times yeah. this weekend, too. I did get more street time though.
Oh, yeah.
I did my umbrella balancing and just general interacting with people type thing.
Yeah.
Which was a fun moment when I was talking to a little girl. I'm like, oh, are you going to go see the mermaids? You're going to go see the mermaids? And the parents just start eyeing me suspiciously. And I'm like,
because you're suspicious.
Well, I mean, there is that. But, you know, I'm being super cute and adorable with this kid. And the parents start eyeing me. And I look at them and I'm like, it's free. They're like, oh, yeah, we're totally going to go see the mermaids. Yeah.
Mermaids. Yeah. Yeah. We were meaning to do that the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the little girl was like, oh, there are mermaids.
Right.
The parents are just like, And I'm like, it's free. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go see the mermaids. That's a great idea. Yeah. Like,
I had the same idea moments. This whole time.
But then Sunday evening.
Yeah.
I went over to the fencing booth.
Oh, yeah?
And I taught them how to MC. Now, let me start off by saying fencing booth has their shit together.
Oh, yeah.
This is not this is not in any way like a dig on fencing booth. This was just after hours, like, dick slapping, like, nah, bitches, I got this, like, kind of a thing.
Sure.
So I basically ringmastered for Cole and Rue.
Because, God damn it, I want to.
So first I'm gathering the crowd, you know, and I'm like, and I managed to, because Sunday afternoon by like 5 o'clock, it was pretty dead.
Oh, yeah.
But I managed to get a few people into the seats and you know, so we had some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I start going, all right, are our competitors ready? And they come into the thing. I'm like, in this corner, we have that guy.
Accurate.
And over here, we have this guy.
Also accurate.
So they didn't get names. They were just this guy and that guy. And they, I'm like, and just hit each other, right? Like, we're playing. Right. It's an actual thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I start describing to the audience, I'm like, so you all know what's going on. They have balloons on top of their heads that they're trying to pop.
Mm-hmm.
And once one of them pops a balloon, I'm going to shout, and then a balloon popped. I went, halt! It was perfect timing. It was not planned. Perfect. It was that kismet
those
moment.
Those are the best,
that was just
I love those.
The universe has a pretty wild sense
pretty
of humor.
Sense
yeah. So we did that. And I feel like I was talking extra shit, and I kind of feel a little bit bad about it. Like, I was like, extra waving my dick around, just a touch.
What, like a vilifier?
Well, I mean that. but yeah, like, so, but I managed to start bringing some people in, and then, like, there wasn't a, or bringing in a crowd, an audience to watch. But we didn't have a lot of people lined up after that, and I was like, well, shit, I got this. And I walked out and I just started pointing at people as they were walking by. I'm like, you go here. You're going to go fight. And they're like, okay. Then they had a line and like people just started more and more coming in. And I started picking on the audience as people were getting suited up. Like, you're going to come fight, right? Well, I don't know. I'm like, well, no, you can bring your friend. She's like, oh, she doesn't want to fight. I'm like, well, then come fight me. That's fine. Like, just come on in.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, you're going to do this thing. She's like, well, let me think about it. I'm like, okay, cool. You think about it. Hey, friend, you think about it too. Because you really want the satisfaction of popping her balloons. You want this. Like, and then there was another person she was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because last year, this guy kicked my butt. And I'm like, hey, you, come fight me. He's like, okay. So, like, I just start wrangling the audience to get them to come in.
Yeah.
Plus, I just got passerbys to come in. By the time I left there, they had people. Mm-hmm. I was just like, but it did start to get to the point where I was like, Oh, this is why I don't work fencing booth, because I could start to taste the latex.
Yeah.
And as a person with a latex allergy, I was like, all right, cool. My job here is done. I'm going to go. Like, I told Mav, I was like, I'm tasting the latex. I think I'm going to leave now. And I think it's harder for me to be at the booth on dusty days.
Yeah.
Because the latex, like, I don't know if it just hops a ride on the dust and then gets in my mouth or what, but, like, it's just, like, it's way more prevalent. After hours is fine. But, yeah, like, during the day with the dust and the heat and everything, I just, there's just too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
Yeah, I don't get to hug Jarl Asa if I have been at the booth.
Well, and I was teasing Darcy.
Yeah.
I was like, I never see you at the booth. He's like, well, because this thing. And I'm like, I get that, but you have an end of the day. And he's like, oh, yes. So he ended up showing up right as I was leaving, which is sad because I want to fight him again because he's tall and that's hard and it's a challenge.
He's also, like, that man is good.
Number one, he's ridiculously
good. He was
good.
Number two in the tournament.
Yeah, he was. The fact that I managed to pop one of his balloons just slightly after he popped one of mine was I'm fine with that.
Yes, Salsa.
Everybody's tall next to Jenna.
Yeah, she's the only person I know who could sit on a square of toilet paper and dangle her legs off the edge. That's
oh, that's cute. Do you want me to reach that thing in that cabinet way down there? Is that a thing that you would like?
In the thought cupboard? You don't want to touch anything.
No, not the thought cupboard. I could hide in it, though, because I'm tiny.
That would be an awful experience for you.
Well, what was it? We were walking around the house, and we have the light fixture that just dangles.
That thing? Yes.
I did tighten that a little bit, because I don't want you to hurt yourself.
I appreciate that.
But, yeah, like, I'm just walking under it, and I'm like, oh, this must be really hard for tall people. Oh, man. And, like, I'm coming down the stairs from the Signy / other people's dressing room area. Uh-huh. And, like, I'm following Nick Glover down those stairs. And he's like, oh, man, I have to duck for the thing. I'm like, oh, that sounds hard.
God damn it.
Like, man, what's that like? Because tall people can reach shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm like, can you change this light bulb? It is a way easier deal for you than it is for me.
Oh, yeah.
Just straight up, that is. But, yeah. I mean, I have my short people privileges. Thank you very much. Anyway, Darcy ended up showing up right as I was leaving. And I was like, I am so sorry because I want to fight you.
Mr. Darcy.
Because, right. He is really fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm not awful. But I want to get better at fighting tall people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Also, I want to get better at fighting really good people. Mm-hmm. So he kind of fits all of that.
The Venn diagram
He's pretty much the person I want to eventually be able to beat.
Cool.
At some point. So yeah, he showed up right as I was leaving. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I've been pulling for this all season and now I have to go. My life is awful.
Do you have any moments this weekend?
Quite a few. The pub crawl, like I said, on Saturday was very surprising, especially given the fucking sweltering heat.
Yeah.
We had a huge number of people. We were shocked. We had 60-something people.
I think most of the special events sold out on Saturday.
They were all, yeah.
I don't know if you guys were sold out. But
that was also the
can you guys sell
the
out?
Best hat
all of the
we've
ones
ever
that
had.
I do were sold out.
Yeah.
We consider ourselves successful if we get, like, roughly $1 a patron.
Right.
On average.
Sure. That makes sense.
Right. Quiet, you. We don't
put
swords in our torsos.
I didn't say anything.
You didn't have to.
Yeah, you know what, James? Tell them what you make in vill tips.
I mean, there's that.
I know exactly.
No, you don't. This year, they are.
Have they been?
Yeah, we have been breaking records, and the audiences are wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy.
Well, and we've been releasing these special edition cards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got one of those.
Number one, they're great. Number two, the audiences want them because they're fucking fantastic,
and
this is
the last
chance.
Time. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, we're...
Yeah, Jessa told me how much she's raking in, and I'm like, you little shit.
Yep. So, there's
I'm lucky if I make that all run in tips.
We had 60 plus people, and we cleared more than a buck a patron.
Nicely done.
And we also, like, we hit that groove super hard. And between the two of us, we were managing this enormous crowd really well. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a part where they were getting kind of rowdy and shitty, which, I mean, you've given them a bunch of beer, yeah, and it's, yeah, super warm.
It's a pub crawl.
It's the end of the day. They're in a bar. Yeah.
They're doing their part, man.
We got them all riled up and full of sugar and, you know, whatever. So that's on us, not on them. And then the other thing is, like, if it were the fencing booth, I would be then handing them a sword. Mm-hmm. So this was fine. But there was a point where they were talking over something that one of us was trying to do, and the other one would step in and introduce a new thing, and then they were raptly paying attention and participating and joining in, and it was a big crowd effort and a hurrah and everything like that. And it was fucking great. But the Sunday crowd, we had, I think, 16 people, and they were the most unmanageable group we've had so far.
As good as Saturday was, that's how bad Sunday was.
Fuck. Yeah. Huh. We had people who didn't sing along with...
Not at Feast.
No, Feast was great.
Even the Sunday Feast that I did, they were not near.
Oh, not as, me. As Sunday Feast had a blast.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we had, I encouraged them. They were already, like, hooting and hollering by the time I got in there, so I didn't have to worry about much of that. But I still encouraged, like, banging on the tables. So halfway through the choreographed part, they're banging on tables, and, like, a water glass fell. And, like, just water and ice went all over the floor. Yeah. So, like, in between the choreograph and the jam, the solo stuff, I come in and I'm like, clean up on aisle three, please. Clean up on aisle three. And, like, I just fucking owned that audience. Nice. Like, with me. I was with them.
Absolutely.
No, it was... I'm really good at my job, Salsa.
Oh, pick it the fuck up. I don't dispute that at all.
We work the same crowds. Get it together.
I've also discovered something about keeping myself safe and happy during the pub crawls.
Oh, well, pub crawl is a different beast. Let's be real with that. Specifically, what you do with pub crawl is a different
beast. Kyle and I are in very direct sunlight or in very close, crowded, hot, little tiny bars.
Yeah.
For 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have discovered that I can hand a couple of bucks to the people in the middle bar, and they will give me a virgin gin and tonic, which is just tonic water. It's just a mug fucking full of tonic water and ice.
That sounds awful to me.
And it doesn't, like, it tastes like tonic water, which is not everybody's favorite.
Don't like it.
But
you're not going to get malaria.
There's that. But the other thing is, it also helps with muscle cramps, and it also really fucking keeps me on the ball.
Okay.
I found myself feeling a lot sharper and a lot less sun-drunk after that.
Okay.
And the other thing is that in a leather mug, there's something about it, because quinine glows blue in UV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I pour it into my mug and I put ice in it, it's blue in there.
Huh.
And I actually have pictures, and I'll send them to you.
You need to ask Anna what she's putting into that leather.
There's that. But it looks fucking awesome. And the thing is, patrons want you as their hosts to drink with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like you're drinking.
When you have water, something, it's not as fun, whatever. And when I have something that looks like a drink, and especially something that's making me super happy, that makes them really cheerful. They like it a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, I plan to continue doing that because it's good for me and because it's good for the people who are on the pub crawl. They like it. So, yeah.
One of the benefits that I have discovered of playing a Russian character is I bitch about how somebody else has drunk all my vodka. And that's why my mug is empty.
Oh.
But when I get a mug, it's vodka.
Right.
And that plays.
That makes sense.
So
I get that. And that's cool.
But yeah, that's.
I just drink during the day. You guys don't do that?
Yeah.
That's okay.
This is
like starting at like 10 a.m. and just working my way through.
I mean.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That does look like an alcoholic drink.
I'm not going to say
glows midnight blue.
That's fucking cool.
So.
P.S. I don't actually drink during the day.
I do.
That you know about.
I actually do. I sanitize and clean my blades with corn moonshine.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense.
And is that because it's undrinkable?
No.
It, just because it's a food safe sanitizer.
No, fair enough. Yeah.
And I will, after every show, sanitize my blades with corn moonshine and then
we've mixed some pretty great drinks with that.
And then sanitize my throat.
But
yeah.
Holy shit.
And I'm not using that as a euphemism. I'm saying literally I do that to clean myself. Because one of the things with shoving things down your throat is you're shoving a lot of shit down your throat.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And your skin is designed to prevent a lot of that stuff from getting into you.
I do nip from the corn moonshine throughout the course of the day so I don't get infections and so I don't get sick and so
on. I'm stumbling around later, all clean inside.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah. But I mean, I want to say this for everybody's benefit. Yeah. You do that, but you never get drunk.
Oh, God.
No, yeah, no.
It is.
I want to make sure everybody's aware. This is a legit thing. Yeah. And it is straight up not. Yeah.
Like this is an amount you could give to a kid and they would not be affected. I wouldn't recommend giving it to a kid. But
what's the point?
Yeah, it is just a tiny amount.
I love it when
that is part of the behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That's part of something I do.
Right.
You're doing something real stupid in ways that people don't understand how stupid it is. Yeah.
Well, and
I actually...
Jesus.
I actually... So my last show on Saturday, I was swallowing the katana. And I actually... I actually got it stuck halfway down.
Oh, God.
Like, I was applying pressure down, and it was something, it was pushing on something, and I was like, I had to pull it out and reset and try again. But
yes, because that's clearly the correct response.
Exactly.
On a scale of one to salsa.
One of my brothers happened to be out at Fest on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
And I was talking to him afterwards. And I was like, yeah, man, I got stuck halfway down. I had to reset. And he was like, oh, I wasn't sure if that was just like theatrics or it was like, no, that was actually like, I got stuck on something.
Fuck.
He was like, please don't tell me these things.
I've had to drive
you to the emergency room before. Please don't tell me these things.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was another thing that happened to me on Saturday.
Yeah.
I finally went to go get food at 5 o'clock. Don't tell. And so I went to Royal Asian, which is my go-to food place.
Mine as well.
Their food is amazing. Number two, they're an independent booth, which I wholly support, and I always give them extra.
My kids.
I've been doing dumplings there since you mentioned it.
Number three, I can eat pretty much everything there.
Oh, yeah.
And number four, their mango bubble tea is amazing and exactly what I need on a hot day. Hmm.
At the end of the day, my kids always ask, can we go get Thai noodles?
Mm-hmm.
That is what they want.
Yep. So I went to get my food from Royal Asian and I scanned the benches for people that I might be able to sit and eat with and have conversation with. Cause I'm still trying to interact. Uh-huh. And I spot my mark. I'm like, all right, these are the guys. These are the ones. These are the ones that are going to invite me in, and we will have a lovely conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask if I can sit with them. They're like, oh, Yenna, yes, please. And I'm like,
Oh shit.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Oh God. It was like awesome. So I sit down with them and I start talking with them. They were so sad on Saturday that The Off the Vine wine tasting was sold out.
Oh.
They've gone every year for the past few years. Mm. And they love my act. And they love what we do. And they're like, and
awesome.
And you guys, there's so many different body types represented. And it is so awesome to see. And I'm just like, I'm like near tears. As they're like just telling me how amazing our belly dance group is. And they're like, also wine. I'm like, yeah, obviously.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, you can go see Wise Fools like over there. Like, I'm like, you know, tell Pietro I say hi, whatever, like that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, we're on our way there as soon as we're done with her food here. Like,
nice,
cool. And then I ended up talking to them about vilification tennis.
Oh yeah.
And one of them apparently only lives a couple blocks away from the Bryant Lake Bowl.
Well, there you go.
And I was like, and you haven't seen us? We've been there for like 10 years. What are you talking? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
What even is your life?
What are you doing with your life right now? Mm-hmm. She's going to come check out vilification tennis.
Bangering.
Her parents decided against, which I feel is a fair decision because it was her and her parents, the three of them, loving Off the Vine wine tasting. So, yay. Reminder, tell Eric Thompson that I had this interaction and these
Absolutely.
People were happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they fucking love that show.
Hmm.
And we talked about that. We talked about other acts around the festival. They did, by the way, talk about that guy that swallows swords. And I was like,
asshole.
That guy. I was like, do you know, like, because sometimes you have to gauge when you're going to drop character or not.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Are you having a conversation in character, or are you having a conversation with people?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that guy, by the way, like, he's a good friend of mine. So I exaggerated, but he's a good friend of mine.
I love you both.
But as he was learning, he would just randomly send me like pictures and video of him doing this stuff.
I had to send to someone.
And they're like, oh God.
Yep.
Oh. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I would be sitting down to dinner and I'm like, well, that's not happening for a while. Fucker.
Oh.
But yeah, so I did tell them that, and they got quite the chuckle out of it. It was one of those behind the curtain moments for them, the MTV behind the scenes.
You get one of those photos when you're on a date and you just have to look over at whoever you're with and you're like, through no fault of your own, you're not getting lucky tonight.
No.
My vagina is so dry right now.
No, I just, like, I told them that they just fucking lost a gut. So, yeah, they do like that one guy that swallows swords, so that you know.
So there's no accounting for taste.
No. God, no. That's why I suggested vilification tennis.
Absolutely, as you should.
Duh.
All of the chaff is now gone.
Mm.
Shit.
Mm.
Fuck.
So here's a question for both of you.
Okay.
And for myself as well, for that matter. It has been 5 weekends.
Yeah.
We have been through the ringer. I know that we don't always get the chance to see all of the shows and things like that,
yeah.
But we have seen stuff.
I really haven't.
Things.
This year.
Okay, well,
I have only seen bits and pieces of things at the special events that I go to.
And if you don't have an answer,
so
that's fine. But what are you really loving this year? Like, what has stood out to you? Not your acts, things that you've done, but like other acts, other people, other characters. What has stood out to you as something that just like, holy fuck?
Kyle and I always find ourselves over at the Banner Oaks just before the pub crawl, right when Danger Committee is doing really fucking incredibly dumb thing.
You will have to be more specific.
So they've been practicing with knives that have handles that are on fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been doing that for a few years, yeah.
And this is my first time catching that particular stunt.
Is this the one where Mick catches it?
Yes. Yeah. And fuck. Holy fuck.
No, it is a really solid
stout. Yeah, on a scale of one to salsa, those guys, fucking...
Those guys are over the
top. They're
I want to work with them.
Yeah.
There's something... There's a stunt that I've been ruminating that I want to get together with Caleb on.
Raiderly.
Okay. Right? Like, I haven't called out her name yet.
This might be a Raiderly moment, but there's something that I've been ruminating that I think if I got together with Caleb on, if we could make that happen, it would be pretty.
What he's going to do is lay down on the bed of spikes while Mick is on the rollabola on his stomach.
No, it would actually, what I was thinking is I would swallow the sword.
Yeah.
Caleb would throw the knives in such a way that they would, when I ducked down to my knees, hold the cross guard up.
Oh my god!
So he would throw the knives to the sides of my neck, close enough to my neck that they would, when I drop down, would hit the cross guards and pull the blade out of my
throat. Yeah, that's definitely a Raiderly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You've got ears.
But it would be pretty fucking cool.
Also, and you know you don't have to swallow the sword the entire way down, right? Like,
I would leave a gap. Okay. There for that one.
I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. Yeah, I'm just going to, you know.
By all means, Caleb is enormously talented.
He can thread a fucking needle. But,
yeah. But Salsa, how is it that we talk about something that they're doing that is incredibly stupid and you somehow make it dumber?
Because no, I'm not normal.
It would be dumber if they did that, but the handles were on fire. And then Salsa pulls the sword out. Pulls the sword out with kneeling, right? And then he takes a swig of boom juice and does a fire blast off of those handles that are on fire.
Why are you giving him...
Because it would be fucking cool!
Because it'd be fucking cool.
Like, I understand. And I would absolutely watch. Like,
I am all about
spectacle.
That one scares the fuck out of me, and it should scare the fuck out of you, too.
It fucking petrifies me, which is why I want to do it.
But why are you giving him ideas? This man is dumb enough on his own.
Because he's going to have them eventually so I want to be the one to take credit.
We'll put it as his epitaph.
All right.
This is Jenna's fault.
TM Jenna Young.
Okay. So, James, yours is Mick catching the knife that is on fire that is thrown.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Do not let us diminish this, dear listeners. Oh, it is fucking cool.
It's real.
Caleb is throwing fucking knives that are on fire at a board, and Mick catches it.
And you're like, maybe it's a stunt knife, but they are notching into the board.
Yep.
Ugh. Yeah. And his choices are to grab the blade or to grab the handle on fire.
Yep.
So,
Sophie's choice.
Fuck. That whole show that they do is really just amazing. But the three of them are very fucking talented.
Super talented.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Jenna?
Honestly, I haven't seen much of anybody's thing. Had a date like that once.
She has never had a date like that once.
No, that's accurate. I've never had a date. I've always seen somebody's thing.
Down the wrong hole there, James.
Oh.
God. And back up a different wrong one.
Oh, God. How many wrong holes do you have? Well, okay, at least two. So anyway, but I will say, and I say this with all sincerity, your funnel trick...
I want to see it.
Probably the coolest thing that I've seen this season.
No, I haven't seen it. I think Kyle and I have to make one of your shows.
I mean, I have managed to see snippets of other acts just via Feast of Fantasy and especially the second Sunday show when they pile in as many as possible and Sigmund's just like hanging out being like, okay, we know they're the last one, but we have no idea how many are before us. So. Yeah. That's pretty much when I get to see shows. Out of all of it, I think the new funnel trick is probably the coolest one. I have watched you refine it a bit, which honestly is kind of what I dig on is watching the refinement process over the course of time. Right. I nerd out on that a little bit.
As do I.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, so, yeah. I love that part.
Yeah. So the from when you first started doing it to when now, just watching it get smoother mm-hmm. and more, you know, less, I don't want to say janky, because it's not janky. It never was janky, just, but like more confidence behind mm-hmm. it, more polishing, more yeah. everything mm-hmm. else going into it. That has been really cool to me.
I concur. Being watching performers being able to evolve an act slowly, whether it be performance art or whether it be a comedy show or whether mm-hmm. it be anything, just being able to see them have the idea and then go to the working thing and then go to here's my show thing and then starting working on the show, and then after a few times the little, just the subtle tweaks and turns of phrases and a slightly longer pause here and a slightly different inflection here, and it just mm-hmm. makes such a difference. I love that. You're right. You and I are yeah. big nerds on that.
So nerdy. Oh my god. And when I got to
stiffy just thinking about it.
And I know, like along those lines, like talking MC work and mm-hmm. and crowd wrangling and things mm-hmm. like that with people, mm-hmm. like just that kind of nerdery. Just yeah.
I have actually I'm now on the Sherwood stage again, which Sucker. Is where Fondazzi performs, and there are some of the bits that they're still doing from back even when I was still with Fondazzi, and just seeing how some of those have changed and the evolution. Mm-hmm. And yeah. and to now having been away from it for 3 years and to walk back and hear it again and go, oh, you know what would be really great is this, is if you did this. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And then they came up with just like second or third weekend, they came up with this idea to try something slightly different here, where instead of this person saying something, this person says the same thing. They're saying the same thing, but it's the different person saying it, whose character has been a different character throughout the rest of the show. Mm. And so when it comes from them,
right,
it comes off completely different.
Sure. Sure.
And it has a completely different effect on the audience. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's what we should have been doing for the last 5 years. Because that suddenly takes this moment that's funny but is still kind of awkward to get out of and suddenly turns it into this golden comedy moment, and to see things like that, oh, I love it so much.
Well, and that's one of the things that I have to keep reminding myself of, is that, like, imposter syndrome sets in super hard, and you always feel like,
well, I mean, for some of us, it should, but...
Right. Yeah, for some of us, it's just being correct. That's... Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But but for you two, it's imposter syndrome. For me, it's just a correct assessment of my lack of talent. I have to keep reminding myself not to compare the beginning of my journey in a particular... in a particular venture to... where someone is at 30 something years later. Like, I fought Mav the weekend after the tournament, and I was feeling really good, and I was like, maybe this is going to go really well. Maybe I might. No.
No, it did not.
That fight lasted solidly 10 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, if you didn't want me to take all of that shit, you shouldn't have left it open. All right, have a good day.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck, mother, god damn. And that's the thing, is I need to work with him. I need to work with other people. And it's going to be a process.
You, me, Mav, and Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
God,
I have
to be there too. Because then I can beat you and still feel good about myself, but I can lose to them and learn things. Yeah.
Championing is teaching me a lot about, about fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also teaching me a lot more about physical comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Salsa, you hit the nail upon the top last year when you were like, you're used to using your voice for these things.
Mm-hmm.
And being a champion, you can do that a little bit, but you're... the way that you express yourself is through the fight itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then also with my pub crawl with Kyle, we are constantly being compared to the previous hosts.
Yep. Right.
The hosts from last year and mm-hmm. who did that show for fucking...
Forever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, they're not... Oh, oh, you guys are doing this? Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, and I have to, you know, like, center myself and find that chewy nougat center and be like, okay, they started somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so gratifying to see performers like Fondazzi and see you do the different things and to see those bits evolve. That's fucking mm-hmm. amazing.
I came over and drummed a few mornings at the fencing booth. And one of the things that I saw was a champion fight. Mm-hmm. And it was between, you know, a patron and... I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Yes.
Who is the Boulder?
Yes.
The Boulder!
And one of the things that I... And I've been hanging around fencing booth for years, so I have developed a bit of an eye for this thing. But one of the things that happened in that fight is he actually won.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't intend to.
Right.
But what happened is... He was doing one thing, and the patron's blade came up this way, and it mm-hmm. deflected the blade in such a way that he sure. inadvertently took the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it happen, and I went, oof, you know, and I could see his face.
Yeah.
Like, when he took his mask off, he was like, oh, fuck, you know?
Yep.
But it was just like, that's appreciating the subtlety of taking a step back and going... As your job as the champion is to mm-hmm. lose.
Yeah.
Your job is mm-hmm. to win enough
mm-hmm.
that the loss seems more impressive. And yeah. the sheer subtlety of having to be able to know when a patron is going to fuck up your swing enough and still be able to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when you're truly a master.
I want to add to that, actually, because yeah. my experience on Sunday when I fought Random Duder, I'm a bad loser.
Yeah?
In that, I just lost. Like, and I actually did attempt to, you know, take one of his balloons, mm-hmm. but I knew going into it I was going to lose that fight. I'm not a champion. I'm not whatever. I just knew going into it I was going sure. to lose it. But I wasn't able to take either of his balloons. And I think a part of that was going into the mindset of it, of I'm going to lose this fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was harder for me to navigate a partial win situation.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
'Cause
so, I just... He took both mine, I mm-hmm. took none. Like, and I should have taken one of his.
It is easy to go into a fight to lose, and it mm-hmm. is easy to go into a fight hell-bent for leather.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But to navigate yeah. that razor-thin oh, yeah. margin yeah. of yeah. going into the fight to make totally. It look like you're going to fucking clean their clock and still lose.
I had an amazing thing about yeah. that when I was championing on... I want to say, I believe Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There was this kid who had taken fencing. And when it comes to people who've taken fencing and they're experienced, and I can tell right. A little bit, just that they seem confident
yeah.
Or that their lunge is a particular way, or that they keep trying to stab the balloons instead of hitting them.
That's epee right there, not saber.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So when they do that, I tend to take it less easy on them. There's a lot yeah. less of the playing around,
mm-hmm.
and my style becomes more aggressive,
right?
Because their style is more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid who was I want to say like 10, 12.
Yep.
No matter how good he is at his style of fencing, if he isn't mm-hmm. a saber fencer, and
specifically balloon, because you're guarding a completely different area of the body,
mm-hmm. right? And if he's not used to fighting in the round instead mm-hmm. of fighting on a strip,
yeah.
I have the advantage, and then I also have the advantage of height. mm-hmm. and reach. So the first time I accidentally beat him, and the same thing that you were describing, like I was like, I'm like, fuck, I was so close, because he took the first balloon and it went really well, and then I just like snapped and wham, took his, and everything was perfect, and then I fucked it up and I took his other balloon.
Yep. Where his blade knocked yours into his balloon.
Right.
No, he just actually did it.
Well, he's like, an asshole.
Well, fuck you, asshole. Yeah.
Right, just that, too. Well, I was fighting right-handed instead of left-handed. And I'm more accurate with my left, mm-hmm. so right. I made a mistake with my right and mm-hmm. took the balloon when I had intended to give him a wrap across the mask.
Yep.
Just to get him to back off.
Wake him up,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes people get too close.
Mm-hmm.
Mav was just like, hit him in the face with a guard. Just like, thump. he was beaten, and you know, we shook hands, and he was like a little bit sad about it. And I could tell, and I was like, fuck, I fucked it up. And he left, and his dad was like, oh, do you want to fight again? And he was like, no. But he just wanted to be out of the coat for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he stood outside the ring, and he, like, stood, and he watched for a moment. I had my next bout, and then he came back in and fought again.
Redemption!
And he fucking dublayed. He took
nice!
At the same time. Yeah, he just, like, done. And
so he wasn't just resting, he was fucking studying.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing
I've
was,
done that.
It was so amazing for both of us. He redeemed both of us. Because I felt so much less shitty.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, no, I... it is... There is an art to not just winning and losing, but losing in a...
Yeah.
A way, and for me, it's still accidental.
Yeah, there are 27 different layers of subtlety.
Yeah,
to the simplest goddamn thing.
Yeah, there is.
I was having a conversation with Gordy a few years back before he was doing Arthur Greenleaf Holmes. He was doing.
The
beggar character, who I can't remember his name, who used to hit himself in the face with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Pretty.
And we had a fucking half-hour conversation about the subtleties and the correct way to hit yourself in the face with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Because that's how long the conversation needed. It wasn't like we were rehashing the same thing over and over. Yeah. I learned so much about when to do it, how to do it, the patter, the angle, the if you do it too much, it's too much, and if you do it not enough, you know, people lose interest, and you have to do it mm-hmm. this way, and if you hit yourself at this angle on this body part, then it rings louder and it makes a bit, and it's just like you people who do not do festivals or any other performance art have no fucking idea how I haven't said mine yet, and I'm going too quickly because we've been going a long time now.
Yeah,
yes, do it.
Thank you, audience.
But the Naughty Body Brigade have been doing fucking phenomenal.
I haven't gotten to catch any of their shows.
They have been doing such an amazing job. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really am super impressed with what they are doing, and mm-hmm. and you know, avoiding the deep dive again, which we could absolutely do, but they are able to blatantly say, we are going to sing really dirty songs and make those songs really dirty without being gross.
Sure.
And still hilarious.
Again, an art form.
Absolutely. You know, very, you know, the line between what they're doing and Vilification Tennis is very thin, because it's that we are going to discuss
the only
things
thin
that
thing
are
in Vilification Tennis.
But And they've got a new CD this year, which I really need to pick up.
Yeah.
Because their songs are so great, and I recommend checking them out.
Yeah.
We should take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Yay. Do-do-do. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we are back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we've already mentioned this before, but fucking True Stone, guys, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Do we really need to go through the fucking TrueStoneCoffee.com promo code?
Apropos.
But it's pronounced?
It smells apropos.
Okay, they're fucking great coffee. Yeah. The merchandise.
I've had a lot of coffee in my life, and so far they are the best.
I mean, 10% off promo code.
Yeah.
The fucking great coffee. I had them this morning because I'm unemployed and I live at home now. And
one of the nicest compliments I've received about them was that I gave Cool Brew to someone who said he fucking hates coffee, but that he would drink that every day.
Yeah. So there may be somebody who this is their first episode, and seriously, where have you been? This is episode 400.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I
fucked it up.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
Son of a...
This is 399 part B.
What is this, the awful copter?
Yes. I'm declaring it right now. This is 399 part B. We're doing 400 next week.
All right. Fair enough.
Fuck you all. We've done 399 and a half of these. If you don't know already, go to TrueStoneCoffee.com, enter the promo code apropos, and you get 10% off of your order. They're fucking amazing. Just go back to the previous episode and listen to our goddamn.
Well, I think you mean this episode, part A.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Fucking shit.
Who's got a shout out?
Oh, I do.
We kind of already did this, but who's got a shout out?
Well, I do, and it's Fest characters. It's the Gargoyles.
Oh,
there are three or four people out there. Well, there are four people. One of them is a part-time musician.
I haven't had the chance to see him.
And
oh my God.
They are funny, and it's inventive, and it's new. I have not seen it done in this way, and all of them are musically talented, and all of them are comic geniuses. They're just really nice people.
They are nice people.
So,
my first interaction with them, I passed them by while they were doing a Weeping Angels thing.
Ugh. Nice.
Ah, creeped me out. I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
And then, a couple minutes later, I turned around and they were making the faces at people. I'm like, oh, God! Oh, God! Ah, yeah, mm-hmm. Creepy. They're real good.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
All right, Jenna, do you have one?
Oh God,
them folks.
God, I feel like I have 18 million shout outs, but none of them are coming to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Bleach.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird.
Okay. Well, I'm no weirder than the rest of this goddamn show.
Right.
The chemical or the anime?
The chemical.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
God damn good. It, you guys.
I'm glad that I'm...
Because a part of the moving in process has been a lot of things that are dirty.
Yeah.
And the bleach has been just a godsend in that. Mm. When I do the campground showers, I use a lot of bleach.
Yeah.
And fuck you out of that. Oh, I didn't get to tell you guys a story about the campground showers. I'll tell you later.
Soon, yeah.
But, yeah. And just the fact that bleach is a thing that I can use for mm-hmm. disinfecting things and making things not... Yeah. Yeah, you guys, bleach. I know it sounds bizarre, but bleach is really fucking mm-hmm. important in our lives.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
It really is. So... Shout out to Bleach.
Cool. I am going to give a shout out to my friend and Jenna's TJ. He was the one who invited me out to go boating. Mm-hmm. He has been a friend of mine for close to 20 years. He's one of the guys who taught me fire eating and has been an inspiration for me and a role model me. And you know, when I first started fire eating, he was one of those guys that was just like, I want to be that guy someday. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I worked with him and I was like, I want to be fucking that guy someday.
Are you fucking him now?
Of course.
Whoa. Oh God.
No, seriously. He is somebody who has been a good friend of mine for close to 2 decades.
He's a really great guy.
And he's always been there and very supportive of me and what I'm doing. And I always feel like I am 20 steps behind him. Mm. But whenever I have a conversation with him, he makes me feel like I'm right next to him. Hmm. And he's a great fucking dude.
Yeah.
I hope he finds a job as well soon also.
Agreed.
Yeah, whoever employs him is going to be treated to one of the world's most wonderful laughs.
Also, his laugh.
I kind of want him to be at my place of employment. Because I have stories of when I worked mm-hmm. with him at our all three of our previous mm-hmm. place. I was on the phone with somebody and he was outside laughing. And the person on the phone was like, is that TJ? And I'm like, yeah, from like outside and around the corner. Like, there weren't open windows. No. That was just through the glass, yeah. Penetrating.
He has a loud laugh.
I want him to be in my office building just so that I can hear him laugh from the other side of the office building.
I'm going to tell you something after we get off.
God.
But you're about 10 seconds too late for me.
Yeah, no, one thing I will say, at one point through work, he and a bunch of other people had to go to Athens for the Olympics. And at one point, they, from apparently a block away, heard his... They were like, where's our group?
Yep.
And they heard his laugh and went, oh, there it is! We're over there! no, genuinely, he... I say this with no reservation. He has been one of those people that I looked up to as a role model, as a fire performer, as a street performer at Fest, and in business, professional life. Dude's just fucking great.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Let's see.
We did the thing, you guys.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Salsa.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from me.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
Are we out?
Because we are out.
Dun, dun, dun.
That means, dear listener, you were not on the ball on this. I told you. Just listen to the fucking...
You were warned.
You were warned. Nope.
The Muds have a baby.
Yep.
So they're excused.
Little Mud Puddle.
Oh, my God.
That baby is fucking adorable.
They posted video of Mud Puddle just, like, attacking this jump. I was... Oh, my God. Oh, I dropped an egg.
Oh, God.
I dropped an egg. I don't know where you got that thing.
I dropped someone else's egg.
Right. Shit. Yeah. God. Oh, my God. This is why I'm perimenopausal. This is why I'm running out of eggs, you guys, is you keep posting cute fucking pictures and videos of your kids.
So, as a result of not having any Fast Fives, I'm going to make them up on the spot.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
If only you had any improv or performing experience.
I know, right? So, let's do... question number one, left or right?
Left.
I'm always right.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
When it comes to dodgeball, I'm the one that's left.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Big, slow, stupid target. Being left-handed has been a part of my identity for my entire life.
Okay.
So, left.
All right. Let me think. Front or back?
Oh, hmm.
Front. Because I would rather front somebody money than have to pay them back.
Ooh. Oh, but you can be a financial backer.
Oh,
you can financially back somebody. And if you front them the money, then it's expected that they will return it. But if you back them, well, maybe
then it's still expected that they'll return it. Then you get
something else out of it, like Kickstarter.
Oh, or is it back because I like butts better than boobs?
Oh, shit.
Though I still love boobs, don't get me wrong.
I was going to pick back, but now I'm definitely picking front.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking of switching.
I like a butt.
Back.
I do.
Oh my god, a great ass. The thing is about a great ass is that a great ass is universal.
Fairly, yeah.
It does not matter the gender or spectrum of gender or non-gender. Like, it is just a great ass is a great fucking ass. It does not matter.
When I was young, I used to like see somebody on a bicycle and be like, "Wow, that's a great butt." And then it turns out it's a dude or something. But and I used to be like, what does that mean about me?
Camille Collins.
And now now when I see that, I'm like, what does that mean about me? It means that I appreciate a good butt.
A few years back, we did a fundraiser for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And the headliner for that show was Camille Collins, mm-hmm. who is a Twin Cities famous drag queen.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know Camille both as a drag queen and as
a performer outside of drag.
Exactly, as day-to-day person. And holy fuck, that ass.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have never seen a nicer does not ass matter. Male, female,
nope. Honestly,
dog, cat, fish, doesn't matter. Fuck that ass.
A great ass is a great ass. And if you can fuck it, more power to you.
I know, right?
I still got to go front.
See, I'm switching to back.
Boobs.
I mean, great breasts are great breasts. And all breasts are great.
Yeah.
Therefore, all fronts are great. But, oh my God, a great ass is such a great ass.
It's only been within the last, I want to say, decade that I've really learned to appreciate a good butt. But I have been in love with breasts my entire life.
See, I enjoy breasts, and maybe it's because I have some.
Sure.
That I'm just like, yeah, they're breasts, and they're amazing, and they're wonderful, and I love playing with them, don't get me wrong. But, man, then again, I have great breasts and a great ass, so...
And how?
Life is difficult for you.
It's hard. I can't see my own ass, though.
Well, now we know what to get you for Christmas.
But comic books have taught me that you can twist your entire ass towards and see ass. It's
no.
What?
I'm gonna.
You don't have the spine of a house cat.
I mean, I kind of do.
Wow,
and that's unhealthy. But
you should get it out of the freezer. It's probably starting to smell.
Oof.
All right.
Anyway.
Right. Front.
Question number three. Back. Sweet or strong?
Sweet. Oh, wait. Fuck. If it's coffee, I'm screwed. Because this is not of all of the above. I'm still going to go sweet. I would like to have a person of sweet character rather than a physical grr.
I tend to be more attracted to people who have, who are, I don't know, like Lara Croft, Chun-Li. Those were kind of my first crushes because they're beautiful, but they're also like,
right,
strong.
Well, and then there is also strength of character.
Yeah.
Which is not to be negated. But my big thing is I love a strong person,
mm-hmm.
a person that has strength and bravery and fearlessness, might I say it, is incredibly attractive to me. But everybody can be kind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it does not matter. Everybody has the ability to be kind. Mm-hmm. And that's where I judge people, because everybody has that ability, and it's almost purely a choice as to whether or not you take it or not.
I would say there was a thing online about this, and for me, the ability to be kind comes from a place of strength.
It can. But then it doesn't have to.
Always laugh about the Venture Brothers thing where they're talking about this dude who's like a giant sumo wrestler, and it's like strong enough to crush an elephant, but also gentle enough to crush a butterfly.
No, I disagree with the whole you have to be strong to be kind. But being kind can come from a strength of place. A place of strength. Because sometimes when you want to do something that's kind, you might have fear that is stopping you from doing that kindness.
Sure.
And so it can take strength to overcome that fear. But I feel like kindness in and of itself is universal. A five-year-old can be kind.
Yeah. I equate it with a strength of character, a lack of...
the strength is the overcoming fear part, which is important. Strength in not being a coward. And I have very strong viewpoints on cowardice, so we can have a real long conversation on that one if you want. But yeah, there is...
I'll have all kinds of times.
I might not. So, but yeah, like having a strength to overcome... You know, a fear is very different than just simply being kind to people. And I'm very vehement about people can be kind.
Yeah.
That is a universal. Not everybody has all of the necessary tools to overcome their fear.
Fair.
But everybody has the tools necessary to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm huge on that.
Cool. I think for me, kindness, the way that I view it is that it's always strong, but it's not always sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I also like strong
I think you and
coffee.
I have actually some varying viewpoints on what constitutes kindness.
Also that.
In certain areas.
Very likely.
'Cause I don't think that kindness necessitates any kind of strength at all. Very specifically, just treating somebody with kindness does not mean figuring out what it takes to be kind to them. Right. And I think that sometimes there are calculations that go into that for you that don't go into that for me.
Fair.
So.
We'll have this conversation.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it more over a cup of coffee, and we just have to decide whether that coffee is going to be strong or sweet.
That's fair. So I'm going sweet for this particular one.
Question number four.
Beth?
Heavy or light?
I always sigh heavy. I never sigh light.
I tend to prefer heavy laughter to light laughter and scattered applause.
I think overall heavy, yeah. Like, I can think of a variety of situations where I'm like, heavy.
I tend to prefer clothing that is heavier and more armor-like. It's psychologically very reassuring
with
to
some
me.
Heft to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question number five. Subtle or forward?
Oh, God.
Fuck.
Son of a bitch.
I tend not to be very forward. But I'm not subtle. I don't... I need other people to be forward and not subtle. Because I am not clever in many ways, but especially socially. So, like, if somebody's trying to flirt with me, being overt is pretty necessary.
I like subtle humor rather than something that is more forward overall. Like, I enjoy all humors, but there is something about dry and or subtle that just tickles me in a very specific place. I like having that moment.
Like a British humor.
Right.
Something very dry.
Fuck.
I watch so many British panel shows.
There is a Stephen Fry...
You can have so much more time for British panel shows.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I would run out.
There was a conversation on Facebook somewhere, but Hawkins had made some comment and I something about, and I was like, well, yes, of course, this, and what about this? And he started like listing this, and I was like, yes. And we just started listing all of the British panel shows
that we knew of,
that we loved, that we watched, and we were both just like on the exact same page, like, yes, these are all amazing.
I do want to let you know there is a kind of an Evening with Stephen Fry thing for a book that he, like a book tour that he did a while ago. They recorded and simulcast it. It's on Netflix, so I fucking wholeheartedly recommend it to you.
There is a, I can't remember if it's an hour or an hour and a half, but it's Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie talking about a bit of Fry and Laurie.
Oh shit, I want to see that.
And it's so good. So good. So much happy. So happy making. All right, so sweet. Heading back, let's remind ourselves, left or right?
Left.
Right.
I'm going to go with left. Front or back?
Back. Front.
I'm going to go back. Sweet or strong?
Sweet.
Strong.
Sweet for me as well. Heavy or light?
Heavy.
I think heavy. Yeah, heavy.
This one's pretty difficult for me, but I'm going to go with light.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And subtle or forward?
Subtle.
Forward.
Forward for me.
I don't think you and I have ever been that divided on these things.
I don't think we have been either.
I think this is the first time.
All right.
I'm just feeling cranky and confrontational.
Question number one, left or right?
I had a day at work, I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still have to do that.
Oh.
Question number one, left or right?
Yeah.
If you are traveling in a car with another person, do you prefer to be the driver or the passenger?
Passenger.
Driver.
I hate driving.
Oh, that worked out well.
I absolutely hate driving.
I
do not like the person I become behind the wheel.
Interesting.
I get bitchy and cranky, and I shout at people, and it is not... Nope. I would much rather be the passenger, and I will do everything for the driver.
I would like to bracket but the joke I that is not. Obvious about how do you know the difference between that and your regular self, but yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
fuck off.
That's all I got.
I'm also going driver
I'm
on this.
I'm driving right now.
And I also want to mention
your podcast.
I was honestly not expecting it to do this, but it absolutely did, the gender split.
Yeah.
Of the men wanted to be drivers and
Well, here's the passenger. Thing though for me specific. I don't like who I am behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I spend my entire fucking day driving other things. Whether that's, you know, projects or people or motivating or whatever. Sometimes I just want to fucking ride in the car, bitches. Somebody else get me from point A to point B. I do that, like I was talking about Stardew with my family a little while back, where it's like, no, Steve's the project manager. I'm just here to farm.
Yeah.
I do that. This is my vacation. This is me not doing the thing that I do for 8 to 10 hours out of the day.
That I get paid for, yeah.
Yeah.
This leads rather nicely into the second question, honestly. Right. Front or back, in a work setting, would you prefer to be in charge? The front seat, or just doing the job, the back seat.
Huh.
Fuck. The thing is that I view myself as more of a facilitator. And I know that I am a manager and a leader, but I don't ever see myself as in charge. I am facilitating. I am providing opportunities. I'm giving people places where they can succeed. So yes, technically I'm a leader and probably front, but it's not about being in charge. It's about having the power to be able to provide opportunities, if that makes sense.
The reason I chose backseat for this one is I don't like specifically in a business setting.
Yeah.
Sure.
And in other places, like at Fest or Fearless, I'm absolutely happy to be the front seat person. Mm-hmm. But in a corporate business setting, I don't like to be the person who makes decisions. I like to be the person who, you do this thing, because now I have a clear goal that I have been, I need to do this thing, and I can do this thing.
I will say, I'm totally willing to be the person to make the call. I want input, though. If you're the person, if you were to work under me, Salsa, and we had like a project that we needed to get out the door, and there was a development thing that needed to happen.
Yeah,
you're a developer for this one. I would ask you, hey, what do you think are the best ways to go about this from a development standpoint? And then I would take all these other items into account. And for me, I would come up with what is the best opportunity, which isn't really to me telling someone what to do as much as, okay, taking these other factors into account. And I have conversations on this with my developers.
Right.
Because I don't want to just make a decision. I will take everything into account and I'll say, okay, so from my standpoint, this is what needs to happen. That's, if you have an argument, I will hear it.
That's why you're a good project manager.
Yay!
As opposed to some other people I've heard are just do this thing. Nope.
Five in the poo.
Yep.
So
yeah.
No, for me, backseat. I would much rather be on the front lines doing things and in that way support the person who is in charge.
Cool.
As long as they trust me to be a bellwether and be like, this is what I'm seeing. This is what we need to do. You who are in charge, can you organize this and make this thing happen? Or like, this is the data. Do something with it, please.
Yeah.
And much like you said, if asked, I will absolutely give my opinion. I will say, this is what I am able to do. This is what I think should be done.
Yeah.
But I don't like to be the person who makes that final, like, and, this is what we're going
to
do.
And I will be the person to be like, okay, this is a really tough call. There's a lot of evens and odds here. We're going in this direction because if we don't pick a direction, we aren't going anywhere.
Yeah,
right.
And I am willing to be that person.
Yeah.
Because, again, to me, that's just providing another opportunity for things to happen as opposed to, I'm not like, I'm still providing opportunities for other people.
But that is a fascinating way to look at it.
Yeah.
It's a different viewpoint, which honestly I think makes me reconsider.
It's when I do, I've been the event coordinator for Die Laughing for years.
Yeah.
To me, yes, technically I am in charge and I am making decisions, but the entire point of that process is to be able to provide opportunities for other people to perform or to grow or to try a thing. That's it. I am not leading that thing because I'm, you know, power hungry or I want to be in control.
Right.
I want to provide opportunities for people to be able to do things.
That's really why I do it.
And then, and sometimes the best way you can provide an opportunity is to say, all right, kids, this is the direction we're going.
Yeah.
Find what you need in this.
Yeah.
I think that's a really healthy way of looking at it, and and I like that.
I like that too.
I will try to ruminate on that and absorb that. Question number three, sweet or strong? How do you like your cup of tea? With sugar or without?
Sweet. Honey, actually. But
Or honey. To be fair.
Yeah.
I wrote these on the fly.
No, that's
fair. I'll accept that. I'll accept honey.
I like tea with honey, but I find myself drinking without any kind
of
sugars or anything.
I will say this. If it's a black tea, sometimes I prefer sugar in it. Because it reminds me more of coffee. But if it's a green tea or an herbal tea or like a mint tea, oh, God, give me honey. Give me honey. Oh, God, yes.
I just like honey in things. Like, I put honey in my coffee, so I
have actually
sweet.
Done honey in coffee, too. Yeah. I tried switching to that for a while, and it was pretty tasty.
I have said before on this show, I think honey is one of the best foods ever invented by Beast, and anything that I can put honey in is okay with me.
so sweet.
Agreed.
Hmm. Question number four. Heavy or light?
What did we all say?
I said heavy.
Heavy. Okay. This is the one that James and I agreed on.
Okay.
Do you prefer a heavy blade or a light blade?
Oh, my God.
To wit, a broadsword or two-handed sword, or a light rapier or epee?
Here's the thing.
The Jenna Young story.
I am a small person. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that because I am small, I like small light weapons.
Oh, but you go scimitar, don't you?
I do go scimitar. Uh-huh. That is, at its lightest, a hand and a half.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That is a heavy blade. And there are things that I love about both light and mm-hmm. heavy. With light, you can do some fantastic, fun, dramatic shit. You can go real quick. You can do some delicate stuff. You can get super technical if you want. Technical, not really my biggest forte, but the like fucking dueling sabers in stage combat where you're just like Errol Flynn and that shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
You can't do that effectively with a heavy weapon. And so there is a brilliance to a light blade that you can play with in storytelling that is incredible. Mm-hmm. I feel more comfortable overall with something heavy, mm-hmm. Because I love the feel of the gravity on it.
Yeah.
I love mm-hmm. feeling the pull and feeling the inertia behind it and being able to play with it in those regards. Mm-hmm. It's like I have another force affecting what I'm doing, and I love that feeling.
Got fizzliness in my penis. Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I would lean towards heavy with the caveat that, man, that's a really close call. Mm. Also, it's just really funny to see me with a broadsword.
Yeah, you fucking around with a scimitar is sexy as fuck. I would actually like to see
that. God.
James?
I'm going to pick heavy. My favorite is two-handed. But I
Florentine,
given the choice between a single lighter sword and then like a medium or a heavy, I'll usually choose the medium. But I like the weight, just like Jenna said. Mm-hmm. I like the continuing motion, following through and creating the arcs and circles in order to keep the blade in motion without having to exert force to stop the blade. The dance of that, it feels great. There's something very musical about it.
Absolutely.
That speaks to me.
Mm-hmm. I erred ever so slightly on the side of light, and I will say I am better with sword and board. Mm-hmm. Mm. And even though I am better at it, I still passionately love the subtlety and the nuance that a light rapier fight brings.
Sure.
Like, and not to diminish the swings that sword and board brings. You know, you do have those very heavy, you know, that dance that you mentioned, you know, that inertia that you talked about, you know, and I do enjoy that a lot. But there's, and again, I'm better at it physically. It my body reacts better to it. But when I get into a rapier fight, there's so much. Just the tiniest twitch of, you know, the tip of the blade moving 2 centimeters can mean the difference between life and death. I can't describe it in words. I have to describe it in grunts.
You're such a dude.
So
no, that makes complete sense. Like the artistry of it is fucking exquisite.
It is, absolutely. And watching 2 people who are really, really good at rapier fighting, just that cat and mouse of that tiny twitch is, it gets me so much.
And I will say, going back to something you said earlier, I don't like medium weapons.
Hmm.
I don't really rapier much, like actual like stage combat rapier style. Give me a small sword, give me a fencing foil, but nope.
I like a gladius.
Nope.
I love aesthetically a gladius. Mm-hmm. Aesthetically, a gladius is one of my favorite swords in the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually physically use them,
no.
I'm much better.
No, give me an extreme.
Mm.
You guys,
an extreme.
If we want to psychoanalyze this for a little bit, the gladius is specifically designed to be used in phalanx formation, and I am not a people person. I do not like to game co-op. Right. I like to solo. And yeah. and so, again, aesthetically, I love the gladius, mm-hmm. but functionally, the gladius is meant to be used as a group, and I don't like that.
To be, moving away from swords, my weapon of choice in a lot of video games is melee, and I usually choose a hammer. I play Killing Floor 2, and there's a hammer that is activated with shotgun shells for acceleration.
Oh.
And with like blanks, and it's fucking I love it. I love it so much.
P.S. You guys, Jessa bought herself a staff over the weekend.
Awesome.
It's fucking gorgeous. It's got like leather wrap, third section handles.
Nice.
And it has her initials in it.
Oh, very nice.
And it's like this carved but polished, but oh god, nice. It's so pretty. Anyway,
will she have it out at Fest?
Yeah.
Okay.
She got it at Fest this past weekend, and she was just with it the rest of the day.
I will.
Like it was like her new pet.
I will keep an eye open for it.
Yeah, that's real good.
Question number 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Subtle or forward?
Hmm.
When there is fruit flavor in cider, do you like it to be subtle or very forward?
Forward.
Subtle. Oh shit. Wow, we just both flipped on that.
Yeah,
all right.
We did. Look, if you're going to give me a thing, fucking give it to me, all right? Don't pussyfoot around this shit.
I'm with Jenna on this one. I'm absolutely with Jenna on this one.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around.
Yeah. If you're calling yourself a blueberry cider, I want to taste the fucking blueberry.
Yep.
Oh, the Uncle John's is really good.
I fucking love the Uncle John's.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're calling yourself a pear cider, and I don't particularly like pear cider, but if you're calling yourself
Perry is my jam.
Just be a pear.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, teehee, I taste like something that was once shown a picture of a pear. Like, no, mm-hmm. no.
It was
no.
raised in a pear neighborhood.
Yeah. I don't know. Just fucking be a pear.
Yeah, it's like LaCroix water is holistic water.
Oh, fuck that.
it was the memory of the hint of... You know,
yeah.
No, it...
It was... It's,
haunted
it's
by an orange.
One 1,000th of a molecule right. of fucking whatever. Yeah. No, just be you. Just be the thing. Yep. Just own your shit and be you.
Bing.
Yeah. I'm still going subtle.
Wow, you literally put the B in subtle.
All right.
You literally just did that.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Dear listeners, that has been our Fast Five.
I'm sorry.
And I just want to point out, I made that up on the fly. If I can make one up on the fly, you can absolutely send me a Fast Five. It's not that hard. You don't do... And yes, I'm a performer, and yes, I've done improv and stuff like that, but it is not that hard.
I don't even do improv.
This does not,
totally
this
do
does not
like
require...
I'd like to make a suggestion. If you use your smart device while pooping, that is...
Please tell us if you come up with a Fast Five while pooping.
That is a perfect opportunity.
I'm actually on board with this.
No, I am too, and I want to know about it.
It can be difficult to find the time, but there you've got, I mean, for some people, 5 to 7 uninterrupted minutes of thinking, And for people like me, somewhere between 15 and 25.
Yep.
So, God. Yeah.
It depends on how much work I have to do that day.
Yeah. Sometimes when you see a man about a horse, you have to haggle a little.
Oh, God.
But no, dear listeners, this does not need to be rocket surgery. It you can seriously just sit down and write choices and then figure out what they mean later, or you can figure out what they mean immediately and figure out the choices later. It doesn't have to be difficult.
It doesn't need to be like convoluted or
don't overthink this.
We sure as fuck can't.
No, don't overthink this because we will.
Because we're going to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, the whole sweet or strong thing.
Yeah.
The whole sweet or strong thing that was about.
Yeah.
Honey in tea, and
we went way the fuck over.
Like, clearly, you don't need to have difficult questions because we will overthink them.
Yeah.
Plus, please,
we really like your questions.
Please send those questions to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Send two emails, the first one with nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat the choices, and then include the context. And we will do amazing or stupid or ridiculous shit with them.
Amazing.
That's our job.
Ridiculously stupid things.
So, thank you so much to myself for sending in a Fast Five.
Oh, you're welcome. Let me speak on behalf of the podcast.
Gross.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
Yeah.
I work at a Ren Fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Double Blind.
Cool.
Coming up.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Thursday.
I'm doing the box office for that.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you in it?
I believe so.
You should probably figure that out. Details.
Thursday, Honey, Minneapolis, Northeast. 7:30.
So sweet.
Door opens. Bom, bom. Door opens at 7.
I believe so.
It's right next to the.
And I know I'm working the box office.
Wonderful,
so I really
ginger
hope so.
Hop Thai and Kremer Czech's Deli, both of which are a great place to get dinner beforehand. If you've taken a date.
Or you can also get dinner in Honey.
You can.
You can eat and watch improv at the same time.
Dun, dun, dun.
So if you are efficient and multitasking like I am.
That's why I didn't think of it.
Right. I highly recommend their salads, actually. It sounds weird, but they are delightful. They also have an egg sandwich that just makes me happy.
The satay is so good. So good. All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I have one. This Saturday, September 22nd, 2018, at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Yes.
Fondazzi Fire Circus has thrown down a gauntlet.
Is it on fire?
It is on fire.
It literally is on fire.
They have thrown down a gauntlet at their 4:30 Uber fire show.
Oh, shit.
Fondazzi has challenged other fire performers to see who can breathe the tallest fireball.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yup.
Somebody that you may know may or may not be participating in that.
So Dan
competition.
Brett, Aaron Casper.
There are rumors. Rumors.
Captain America.
Me.
That Dan Patton will be there.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Shit! Well, now I have to see.
There are rumors that a certain sword swallower will be there.
Oh, really? Who?
I don't know. Never heard of him. there'd be a couple Fondazzi and a couple other non-Fondazzi people who will be competing to see who can breathe the tallest fireball. Who will reign supreme? Who has the biggest... Who is
fire
the biggest windbag? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
You should probably not miss that. As long as you're going to be at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival on September 22nd, 2018, you might as well go see the Battle of the Bands between Four Pints Shy and The Dregs, which is always a fucking great show.
That sounds like it's going to be super fun.
Four Pints Shy, Irish band, The Dregs, Irish band. Go toe-to-toe. Who is the best band? It's pretty great. Go see Battle of the Bands, then go see Fire Breathing Competition, Sherwood Stage, 4:30, Fondazzi Uber Show. Check that shit out.
Yeah. Hooray! Yay!
And hey, I don't have a job, so I'm going to be practicing all week.
We're just going to come into the lab and find scorch marks on the ceiling.
I wouldn't do it inside, you idiot.
Yeah, don't do it inside.
No, I'm going to be doing it in my driveway where the neighbors can see.
Oh, shit.
I had a date like that
on
once.
On a scale of 1 to 6.
Jenna.
Why don't we do it in
Jenna, honest question. As somebody who has done...
most of the people we've
fire performance in the past.
All of the above,
have you ever had to explain to your neighbors what the fuck you're doing?
No.
Oh,
well, I think the thing is, a lot of the fire performance practice time that I had was in the suburbs, which you would think would mean more neighbors with more questions. No. No. Number one, the yards are bigger.
Fair enough.
Number two, they're all good little Minnesotans in the suburbs, don't you know? And you don't want to go asking questions. You don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Oh, that Jenna Young is doing that thing again.
Oh, she's doing that fire thing.
Oh, my, get away from the window.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just have a really big campfire in the backyard. but yeah, no, I have never... actually had somebody ask me about what I was doing.
I've had plenty of awkward conversations with neighbors.
But yeah, like I said, like just in general, suburbs, big yards, nobody cares.
6-1.
Everybody's kind of in their own little bubble. They don't want to reach out, do their thing, whatever. I didn't know any of my neighbors in the suburbs, any of them that I lived in.
The neighbors?
Years and years.
Any of the suburbs, any of the neighbors.
Many years ago, before I was dating my wife, I was dating...
dinosaurs roamed the earth.
My girlfriend at the time, her sisters were having their birthday party, twin sisters, which is why I'm using the plural, were having their birthday party, and since I was dating their sister, and they were like, hey, do you want to come... play with fire in our backyard during our birthday party? And I was like, sure, fucking why not? And so I did. I did some fire breathing and eating, you know, for the party. And I found out later that the neighbors were all a Twitter about, oh my God, they went all out for that birthday party. They hired a fire breather for their party. Oh. My goodness. It turned into... this mini Keeping Up with the Johnsons thing where suddenly all of the like neighbors were like trying to like, how are we going to top this for our kids' birthday parties and shit? So that was fun.
Just burned down the bouncy castle.
The last couple places I have lived at, I have had to have conversations with the neighbors about, this is the thing I do. This is, I'm a professional. We know what we're doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm just practicing. I'm not burning anything down. I'm just, this is my practice, you know. So if you see fire in the driveway, it's cool. Yeah. So you should see that. Come to the Renaissance.
Sounds great. So.
All right.
My lords and ladies, this has been Apropos of Nothing.
If buckle up for thy sex. Buckleth.
Wow.
Buckleth upeth.
Wow.
For thine sexual congress.
Intercourse.
My lords and ladies.
Coitus.
God damn it.
All right.
Good. Fuck the both of you. God, I hate you all.
Lords and ladies.
No!
Eat thy carnal knowledge cake.
I love you, Bob.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with us?
Take it away, Salsa.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.